welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Screwed up my own name. Welcome, Teresa Strasser.
You got mine right.
Yeah, and Danny Bonaducci.
That's two down.
Well, here's what I want to talk about this morning. I have many things to discuss over the course of today, but I'd like to get started with, I did that thing out in the parking lot where I was listening to a little local news, and I shut the car, and then I turned the key back on so I could hear the radio while sitting in the car, and I got to hear some of the local news, but it had that buzzer going underneath it the entire time that the car makes.
Your key was in.
Whatever. And I realized there was another time when I went out to the driveway and I was trying to sort of program the radio and the buzzer was going off and everything's just one big buzzer. I like to pop my seatbelt off for some reason. It makes me feel like I'm moving that much faster, but I'll pop my seatbelt off as I start pulling up the driveway to my house or as I start pulling into the parking lot or whatever it is. But then the buzzer is going off. And first off, if you sold me a car and said, look, sunroof's going to be an extra $1,200 and cruise control's another $900, $5,000 extra for the goddamn buzzers to go away, right, I would pay it up
front. Absolutely.
It drives me insane. And not only does it drive me insane, but I feel like I'm paying for something that I don't want, and I wish, much like there's that switch where you can shut the airbag off on the passenger side if you have a toddler in the seat, I want that with the buzzers. I feel like there's some document. I want to sign a document when I buy the vehicle that says, I know when the goddamn door's open.
Right.
If I'm driving down the freeway and I'm doing 75 and I'm feeling a pretty good draft come in from the passenger side, my suit, my sleeves being sucked out of the door, right. I know. And,
right.
And let me actually, I'm trying to think, I could probably count on one hand the number of times I've fallen out of a moving vehicle because the door was open.
Okay, you got me beat there. You got me beat there. I can't count that on one.
Well, maybe we should blame you for this. But if there was a switch underneath the dash to flip that said, we will now shut off all the beacons and buzzers and bells and all the lights, I feel like I'm being inundated with this in my life. And I also realize that future generations will be able to tune this out immediately.
Right.
It will mean nothing. As it is, when I used to do Loveline, I used to talk to kids all the time that had a smoke detector chirping in the background because it had a low battery. Now, look, thank you. I'm no electronics engineer, but I can't figure out how a battery that is low, thus the low battery chirp, is able to let off a 125 decibel beep every 22 seconds for the next 11 years.
Yeah, it will never stop.
Well, isn't that the same battery that's low? If we'd put all those beeps together, we could have a 5-alarm fire and this goddamn thing could run for 22 minutes straight. How is it? How can the battery be low and power the buzzer for the next 11 years?
I don't understand that one myself. I also don't understand why all I have to do is turn it a quarter of an inch counterclockwise, pull it off the wall, and put a 9-volt battery in. But since I'm 5'6", my answer to that beep is to smash that thing with a broomstick.
Meet Mr. Mop Handle. That's
okay,
right.
Right. That's it. Now, as for your beeping with the seatbelts and things, I have, like, a personal, like, freedom issue with that.
Me too.
I truly believe that my freedom to be unsafe, to be unbuckled, to be unfettered in any way is being infringed upon electronically by some sort of government safety agency that didn't ask my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you, for me, who is a car buff and who loves the aesthetic value, not only the performance, but the aesthetic value of a car, to, I have a Jaguar. It's a 99, it's a supercharged one, British Racing Greens, beautiful. It has, thank you, thank you, James. Pull it around, would you? Throw a coat of Carnauba wax on it. It's a beautiful British racing green Jaguar. The they're detail oriented. They do coach work over there in England, and the interior has this burl walnut inlay where all the dash is and the Conley leather. Even the headliner looks like a sort of a beige mohair, but on the equally is a well-crafted sun visor, complete with the sliding mirror that lights up and done in the same beige sort of mohair, is a big yellow sticker that's ironed on, made out of vinyl, that says, look out for the airbag.
Right.
So in this beautiful, I mean, it is like somebody crafted a beautiful cabin in a boat from the 30s, and then somebody took big yellow warning labels, the same one that comes on the Ford F-150 stripped-down pickup truck with the bench seat. It's not like I get the Jaguar one that's done in gold lame and calligraphy. No, it is just the same crappy yellow iron-on sticker that the Isuzu gets, and that's stuck not on the inside of the flap, on the outside, so that when you climb into the car, it's very visible.
First thing you see.
Yes.
Right. It's like an acid burn on Cindy Crawford's face.
That's right.
And that would slow me down a minute. I would remember what she used to look like. I'd be fine with the acid face.
Me too. As a matter of fact, in the position I would be in, I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I couldn't even see her face.
Now, if you poured acid on her butt.
Well, let me ask you this. As the mechanic's daughter, there was always a crooked mechanic on the row. Like, if you needed your car smogged and you had a bad car, that would kind of sign a few papers for you and make it look okay. Isn't there a mechanic that can disable the buzzers?
Well, that's, and now we're taking this into a deeper level. I'm going to look into it.
That's what
but
I
now,
do.
Here's the problem. Thank you. Now, knock it off. No.
The answer's yes, by the way.
Here's the thing, and here's the problem, and here's where the litigation gets to its second tier, which is, as I scream, why don't you just make the goddamn sticker on my beautiful visor? And by the way, what am I supposed to do with this sticker?
Right.
Read it every morning as I climb into the car, memorize it, disable the airbag? I have a toddler. I can't put him in the front seat. I think
two.
I figured that one out. What?
I think you have two kids.
All right, I'm going to check on that. I thought one or three. You're saying two?
I was about to say that if you've succeeded enough in life that you can buy the beautiful Jaguar with the sticker, you are probably, it could be assumed that you remember what you read after the 600th time. And then he forgot how many kids he had.
And what are you going to
screw my theory?
What are you going to do about it, even if you do know about it? I mean, there's nothing to do. I've never had anyone in the passenger or nobody under 35 pounds in the passenger seat of the car, but at least put it in sticker form, because then I will gladly reach up and peel it off and throw it away and never have to look at it again. But this is where the second tier comes in, because they put it in sticker form instead of in the hot glue form. I mean, they literally have it sort of shrink wrapped on there. It's another story. I have a BMW once. I was so hell bent on getting rid of that goddamn yellow sticker on my black sun visor that I took a heat gun to it and ended up melting my sun visor. And almost, it was one of those things where you heard my voice come from the exterior of the garage and the birds flying away.
No!
Nice. No! But, if you then could peel it off, then when I sold the car 5 years to somebody else who then threw their kid in the passenger seat who was beheaded by the airbag, then they would sue Jaguar because they would say the sticker shouldn't have been able to be removed.
Right.
Right. And they would also sue you.
That's, it keeps going. Right. So if somebody built into this car a switch that would work, that would shut off the bells, buzzers, and beepers, the car manufacturer would be sued because I shut it. We would sue them and say, you shouldn't have allowed me to shut it.
Right.
Or I shut it, and then I sold it to my neighbor, and he wasn't aware of it, and he fell out of the car when it was going 70.
I mean, certainly we learned just yesterday that you have to disclose a person died in a home that you sell.
Yes.
You would certainly have to disclose that you removed the sticker that says there's an airbag in this car.
It would be nice if they gave us that option,
right.
And that's what I object to. I don't object to the bell and the buzzer part. I object to the part where I'm saying, I'm sober, I'm adult, I'm educated, I don't want the bell and the buzzer. I'm pretty sure I know when the door's open, and I'm aware of when the seatbelt is on. I don't want it. Somebody, by the way, Steve here, says he knows how the alarm, the low battery chirp can go off every 22 seconds for 11 years with a low, low battery. Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Adam, as far as that goes, man, that alarm is hardwired into the house.
Well, I'm not talking about that alarm, gay bait. I'm talking about the one that takes the 9-volt battery.
I think
it's
that could be hardwired.
A 9-volt battery as a backup.
No,
as a backup for, what do you call it, if there's a
power outage.
A power outage or a surge or something like that. But that's just a backup.
I know, but there are plenty of smoke detectors that just take a 9-volt battery.
You actually attach
Maybe
them to the wall with,
day,
with a glue
but
thing.
Nowadays, everything is hardwired in.
Everything is hardwired in,
and
except
back,
for...
Back when they had a little dinosaur in there spinning a wheel.
Ooh. Ooh. All right.
Keep it going.
This is
annoying.
Get
your fucking shine box.
Yeah,
get
your
shine
box. That joke was about as good as this phone line.
Right, here's the deal. I can tell you this from experience, my friend. You can go down to Home Depot right now and buy a fire detector that looks, or a smoke detector that looks a lot like those lights you can also stick up in your closet and just slap and they turn on.
Yes.
And you peel off a little sticker in the back and you stick it on the wall and it ain't hired into squat, dude.
Yes.
It's got a 9-volt battery and that is that.
He was
you
just
technologically advanced spaz.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was my fault for thinking I was going to get some satisfaction with an answer via one of our listeners. I'm 0 for, you know, God, 3,500.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screen.
Yes, we are, and we're going to. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Darren Malsack, the unfortunately named Darren Malsack. What did he do? He chased down robbers. He jumped on the roof of their speeding car. Perhaps there should be a buzzer.
Yeah.
For that.
There's
you
a
when...
mall sack on my hood.
Ignore it and keep on driving, honey. It's considered good luck in many countries. He, anyway, ran down some perps, jumped on the car, called the cops with a cell phone from the hood of the car. Real Starsky and Hutch stuff. We'll talk to him after this.
This morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Hey, we're talking sex parties and S&M classes with a sex expert. My father booking a sex expert when he got the Jackman in the easy. We're going to play Rich Man, Poor Man, and Mr. Brightside. And 2007 officially begins when we talk about the AVN Awards with a porn star. And Jackman remembers his first AVN Award, Best Domination Scene with an Animal. I mean a chick. Thief.
Thanks, Jack. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. Here's Adam.
Well, as we spoke up before we went to break, Darren Malsack, who works at an auto parts place out, said a checker. Auto parts out in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you should definitely say checker when a guy, I feel, an American hero, if you will, works at a place called Checker. You should just throw that name out so you know that that's the kind of quality people they hire there.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of guys who work in auto parts stores might go out, take a look, see if your see how those fan belts are hanging. But they're not going to jump on the roof of a perp station wagon and ride it at 50 miles an hour. Darren is. Darren?
Yep.
Good to speak to you.
Good to talk to, Los Angeles?
And all sorts of other places.
Yes. You know, I hear auto parts store in Milwaukee, and I get romantic.
Yeah,
just close your eyes and you picture that Checker Auto Parts in Milwaukee. Beautiful imagery.
Darren, so, have you been to Los Angeles?
No.
No. And do you know who I am?
No, never been out there. Haven't heard of your radio station. So,
Have you heard of Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Adam Carolla.
Well, that's who I am.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, excuse me while I fire a phone screen.
That's right. Well, who did you think this was, or who did you think you were going to speak to?
I don't know. This, what's the name of the radio show?
Let's
stick
not,
to stopping crime.
Let's not live in the past.
No.
That's
let's
right.
Let's move forward.
That's right. So, Darren, where are you right now? Are you at work?
I am on break right now at work because trying not to be on company time while I'm doing this stuff. Cause
no.
He just keeps getting better, this guy.
So what happened? Tell us the story.
Well, two guys came into the store and were asking some questions about some projects, and I showed them the options, and then the guy said he needed a belt for his car, so I started looking it up in the computer. the other guy asked to look at, you have like a mobile DVD system that you actually mount in your car. And I pulled it off the shelf and put it on the counter, and I told him the price. And he was kind of looking at it, and then I looked up the other guy's belt, and I grabbed the belt for him, and I set it on the counter. And as I did that, the other guy kind of picked up the system and walked out the door, like kind of in a brisk pace. And I've never been involved in any kind of theft or anything like that before, so I was like, well, it is the kind of system that you'd have to mount in a vehicle, so maybe it's just trying to see if it would fit on the ceiling of his vehicle. So I was like, okay, whatever. The other guy's still in here. We'll figure it out.
His buddy's still in there.
Right, now, so yeah. This is a Milwaukee state of mind, because in Los Angeles, I know I'm being robbed an hour ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
When they said hello to me, I figure I'm getting jacked.
Yeah, so he took it out. He thought maybe he's just going to go for a dry fit in the automobile to see if it worked.
Yep.
But then his buddy left, and they both got in the car, and that's when you sprang into action, right?
Yeah, well, the other guy's like, well, I got to get some money for my car. And then I kind of follow him, like, maybe 10, 15 steps behind. And they parked on the side of the building, which isn't normal. And then when I came around the corner, I noticed the guy was sitting in the front seat of his car, and then he closed the door. And that's when it spread on me that we got an issue here.
Now, you're just an employee, right? You don't own the store.
Well, yeah, I'm the store manager, but yeah, I don't own it.
But you wouldn't be charged if somebody kiped a DVD player, would you?
Nah.
Okay, no. But yet you still jumped on the roof of the car as they pulled out?
Yeah, well, I was going to get the license plate, and then they started backing up kind of into me. And I mean, I could have jumped on, and I chose to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled out of the parking lot, and they were doing about, 45, 50 miles an hour. I could tell because the wind was rushing past my head pretty quick. And
much like
when
you drive with the door open.
Right. And they knew, Darren, they knew you were on the roof of the car?
Oh, yeah. I was beating on the top of the roof with my fist, trying to tell them to stop and slow down. And they were yelling back at me to get off the car. But at that point in time, they were moving way too fast for me to even be able to jump off. And then she started swerving back and forth to try to lose me. And that's when it dawned on me that I was in a movie or something like that where they're trying to get me to fall off the roof by swerving back and forth.
Right.
They turned right onto another street, and that's when I realized I have to figure out something on my own, and I actually pulled my cell phone out of my pocket and dialed 911 from the top of the vehicle.
Yeah. See, I have trouble dialing the cell phone just driving inside the vehicle. How did you do it on the roof of the car? And then how did you stay on? Was there a luggage rack or something?
Yeah, there's a luggage rack on top of the vehicle. It was like a station wagon. So actually, my feet were kind of on the back bumper, and then I was holding on to the luggage rack on the roof.
Ah, I see. So you're sort of going fireman style.
Yeah.
While simultaneously calling the cops.
Yeah.
And so then what happened?
I explained to 911, and then they transferred me over to the local police department, and then...
I'm sorry. While you were holding on by your fingertips for your dear life, they said, hold on, I'm going to transfer you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they transferred me to the local police department.
Yeah.
So then you get the local municipality, but what do you tell the guy or the gal who picks up the phone?
Well, I just explained to them that there was a theft and that I was actually on top of the vehicle or on the back of the vehicle, and I gave them some street names as we were passing them. They didn't stop at any stop signs, so they just kept blowing them, and then finally they stopped at a stop sign, and I saw the guy start to get out of the car, and that's when I jumped off, and I was like, yeah, that's enough for me.
Because you thought he was physically going to come after you at that point.
Yeah, oh yeah. Or I didn't know. I mean, there could have been a weapon involved.
Meanwhile, the store's being cleaned out by looters. Thousands of DVD players.
Actually, the funny thing is, they got two other employees that were in there, and they were wondering where the heck I went when I got back. They had no clue.
They complained that your break was too long.
Yeah, they're like, I walked back in with a cop, and they're like, what happened?
Well, how did you get back? Did you just have to walk back? Did you have to wait for the cops where you were?
I started walking, and then the cop's like, just stop right there, and I'll come pick you up. And then he kind of showed up and picked me up.
Mm-hmm. And love was found?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
But were these guys ever arrested? Is there an outcome to this story?
Not that I know of yet. The license plate that was in the vehicle was actually stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't match up with anything, and I haven't heard anything yet. The thing is, if I walked out of my house right now and saw somebody stealing stuff out of my car, what would you do? Would you turn around, go back inside, and dial 911, or would you run down there and say, what the heck are you guys doing? Get the hell out of here.
Well,
as a matter of fact, Mr. Carolla would run after them in flip-flops and wait to get sex from the blonde downstairs, but that's yesterday's show.
That's yesterday's show. Yeah, well, but the operative word is my. You say my car, and yeah, a lot of people don't treat their businesses or their neighbor's car as they treat their own, which is nice. This is what we need, although you've taken it to extremes because you could have had horrible injuries suffered because of this $189 DVD setup.
Yeah.
How much was this DVD setup?
Yeah, it's $198.
Oh, $198.
Well, see, but give it to you.
I get 5% off Checker in the Milwaukee area.
Has the owner of the Checker Auto Parts rewarded you in any way for your heroics?
There's been kind of a negative thing because they're saying that I broke some rules in doing that. So.
Well, this is the best thing. This is the best thing that could happen because I'll explain quickly. When I was working at McDonald's in Studio City on Ventura Boulevard when I was 16. Before they hired me, we had to go down in the basement and watch an instructional training video. And the video basically said that if they actually had a video where armed robbers came into the McDonald's and they said, don't do anything. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw some hot grease in their face and then jump over the counter and wrestle the Uzi away from the gangbanger at 2:42 an hour minimum wage. Right. I'll get paid exactly 11 cents for the exchange. I said, are you high? I'm not going anywhere. But the best thing that could happen to you, Darren, is you get fired from Checker Auto Parts. The news services get hold of it. All the conservative AM radio talk show hosts get hold of it. And you become a cause celeb. Can you believe this American was fired? Then the offers start pouring in from the Fortune 500 companies. We could use a guy like Darren on our crew. So being fired would be the best day of your life.
How about that, Darren?
That sounds pretty good.
It sounds pretty good, but there, if you don't mind, I do feel that there's a couple of flaws in your theory.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My wife, who you don't know, since no one ever told you who was calling, you'll probably find this an odd statement.
She worked at Kragan's.
My wife refers to me when I'm feeling down about myself or my career or something like that. She goes, honey, you're an icon. Mm-hmm. And I said, you ever try and feed your family by being an icon?
Right.
What happens is he'll get a bunch of people and they'll have him on the show and what a good American, and that's when he'll vanish.
Wait a second, let's test this theory.
He won't get another job, and he'll have just been an interesting moment on the
interesting, because, yeah, I never do follow up on those people.
Darren, do you know who Danny Bonaducci is?
No.
But we've gone down this road before.
I'm a friend of Adam Carolla.
I know Adam Carolla is.
But in a moment, we'll find out that you know the name Danny Bonaducci.
I know the name of Danny Bonaducci.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Does he think we're asking if he knows us like we've been out drinking?
Well, it's like when people go...
That's the guy who lives downstairs from me.
Right, I'll try. Do you know Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Now that makes me think he's actually spent quite a bit of time with her. All right, Darren. Well, look, we hope you land on your feet. I hope you're not in any hot water with the boss. I don't think he could fire you. You're a hero, after all. The world's dumbest hero, but a hero. Nonetheless.
Yeah, he actually accomplished nothing. The CD player's gone. He got the wrong license plate.
I bet you those two people aren't going to be walking into
That's
the
right. He sent a message to all those thinking about committing crime. I am stupid. It's the message. No, do not bring your crime here. Look, we all...
That will throw their lives in front of you, so you better not do this.
Thank you, Darren.
And we do appreciate it.
And thank you for hearing of both me and Danny Bonaducci.
He knows you.
We should be able to get a Milwaukee affiliate based on this kind of recognition.
You know, I used to do that. Just randomly call like 7-Eleven in Waukegan. Say, hey, you ever heard of me?
Wow. I'm going to try that. I was trying to think. I believe, and I know it's not great news, but I think your average person does the right thing. I mean, when the toddler's walking down the interstate, the average motorist pulls over and calls 911 and tries to save the whatever. Sometimes it goes to extremes, guys jumping on bumpers of moving vehicles. story that came out of New York, I think it was, where the guy dove on the guy in the subway to try to pull him off the tracks.
See, that's not your average person doing that, a good
that's
thing.
That's above and beyond. But as I've as we've conducted the experiment on this show, I, in my wallet, on my cell phone, and on a few other, I think an iPod or something I have my phone number on it. It says, if found, please call this number. We did, everyone is so jaded and said, oh, please give me a break. We did an experiment where we took a wallet. We took out all the ID. Brian, you correct me when I screw up. We took out all the ID so no one know, you know, there's no plastic or anything in it. But it did have cash. I think it had $100 or 80 bucks.
We did three times. We left $100 in it each time. And each time, I think it got returned.
The phone just rang immediately. We just took a wallet.
We put the hotline number,
put $100 cash in it, took it all over town, and just threw it out on the sidewalk. And obviously, people didn't see us throw it out, just sort of let it drop down the pant leg of Big Tad. And he kept walking. People, the phone would ring 20 minutes later.
It took
somebody
2 months
picked it
to
up,
get out of the pant leg.
I'm going to tell you right now that that doesn't surprise me because of being here before a bit. The last time I was here as a guest, I rode my motorcycle. I think I was wearing these pants, and they have very small pockets, and my wallet fell out, apparently at La Brea and Wilshire.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from the Inglewood Police Department that they have my wallet.
Inglewood.
And I said, wow, okay, that's great. I'll talk to you tomorrow. When the information was passed. And then maybe an hour later, there was a knock on my door, and it was the Inglewood police with all my money and all my license and everything. A guy found my wallet here, went home to Inglewood with it where he lived, then took it to the Inglewood Police Department, who took it back to me in Los Feliz.
And Inglewood, for those of you who aren't from around here, not at the top of the list of cities you'd think a wallet would be returned.
That's a worse neighborhood than mine, and that's saying something.
Maybe Jerry West found it on his way to the forum or something. But
right, we sent the guy a check who actually found it. We sent
him
a reward. But still, it was amazing. I just the idea of, because you know my car was stolen, right?
Yes.
That's 67. Well, I got it back yesterday, and there's no license plates, and there's no register. Everything, I'm an idiot. Everything that says I owned that car
was in the car.
It.
Right.
And because the glove compartment was locked and the key didn't fit it, they stole the whole glove compartment.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing there anymore. So every piece of paper that was in it is gone. So I have no license plates, no proof that I owned that car, and I never registered it in California. It's from Michigan.
Man, if you got some tape on Breaking Bonaducci, there's plenty of footage of you and the kid driving down the highway in it.
Can I go in there and say, see, it's me? No, I think you need stuff. I gotta go rent a car today.
Like, the good news is, they believe me, I got the car back. The bad news is I got popped for an open container when the judge watched the footage.
With a six-year-old in the back.
Listen,
it wasn't one of mine.
The DMV is known for being flexible and for looking at things in an open way.
Fair-minded, heavy-set women of color who pride themselves on courtesy and flexibility.
God, it just, you know I'm going to stand in line.
Customer's always right.
Line C all day long, and then they're going to say, oh, you need to be in line. Why?
All I'm saying is, I think the world, at least this part of the world and its citizens, are better than we think. There's lots of movies. It's very popular. Certainly was a theme in the 70s and 80s. But even now, some woman is being raped in the alley, and everyone just closes their drapes and heads back into the house to watch TV.
Remember The Accused?
Yes,
Jody Foster?
That's all there was. Every third movie was something horrible is happening to an attractive woman who's screaming for help, and everyone looks out scared.
Yes.
If we all just turn our heads, maybe it'll go away. I don't think it works that way. I've been in a number of situations where things have happened and people come rushing out to help, often at their own peril, come rushing out to help. And certainly if they're not going to come rushing out to help, they rush over to the phone, they call 911, and they do what they can. I just hate the idea that we walk around through the society looking over our shoulders, putting the club on the steering wheel, the symbolic club on the steering wheel of life, constantly paranoid, and it does exact a toll on you, when the reality is the guy who's sitting next to you on the bus, or the guy who's walking to your right on the sidewalk, or whatever it is probably a decent guy who values his wallet as much as you value your wallet, realizes that, and would return it just as you would return his. If you think about it, too, you think about, well, I would return someone's wallet, and so would everyone I know. Well, do the math.
Right.
I think there's many more good people than bad people.
I do, too. But sometimes I think those people who rush out, say you're in a situation, I don't know what is in my head, I immediately have the Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze in my mind. And everybody spills out the front door and something terrible is going
to
happen.
I don't want to correct you, Danny, but it's just Roadhouse. I'm sorry. It's not the Roadhouse.
Sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Right after I saw the Star Wars. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's Roadhouse, Danny.
Is it Moby Duke?
Yeah.
All right. When I saw Patrick Swayze in Next of Kin.
It's the Next of Kin.
But when he would, a terrible thing would happen in the parking lot and people would rush out. They're not necessarily good people. Now, I'm not saying I had kind of an issue. I was thinking about, I did a couple of interviews yesterday about how I fit in on this show. And questions that I would not normally think of were raised. And I thought of it and... one of the things I thought of was whether I'm a good guy who's done some bad things or a bad guy who's trying to do some good things. That was brought up by an interviewer, a journalist. Mm-hmm. And, see, I would run out the door if you were being attacked by a bunch of guys, and I would run out the door to help you.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily run out the door, not Adam, I know, just a man. I wouldn't run out the door to help you as much as I would run out the door just to get involved in that. Because I like that.
Well, there's
always fun for me.
There's that element. I mean, that's the problem, some would say, with a lot of cops. They have that gene. Thus, they're beating the crap out of a guy. They almost hope the guy resists arrest sometimes so they can bust some knuckles on him. That is a necessary element to enter the fray. You wouldn't enter the fray if you didn't have that gene.
No, I'd go and do 911 if you didn't have the gene.
You wouldn't have... You almost need an element of bad boy and bully just to wear the badge. It's good that we have that. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's bad, Chuck.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I thought I was making some horrible confession about myself. Now I feel much better.
Chuck?
Yes.
What? How say you, my brother?
I'm doing good. Just on my way to work right now.
Ever heard of Adam Carolla?
you lost your wallet and somebody brought it to your home?
Yeah, actually, I had left it on the roof of my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I took off and had $650 cash in it.
Wow, that is a large chunk of change.
And guy found it, came knocking on my door, and sure enough, he had my wallet. Not a dime was taken from it.
Right.
And it just made me know that there are some decent people out there still.
That, I got to say, losing your wallet, you know, most people don't run a credit card thievery ring, right. So there's nothing they're going to do with that. But $650 cash.
See, that would make me take notice.
That might make me step back. I found your empty wallet on the curb.
All the credit cards were spewed all over the street. I picked them up for you, but there was no cash.
Well, I would argue that it fundamentally feels so good to do the right thing that that's why people do it. It's almost a selfish thing. You feel so good returning somebody's wallet or iPod.
Yeah, but
I think in a way that you have a point there.
$650 feels good. See, my problem is, you know, I'm lying when I talk too much. I found your empty wallet right over there with no cash. If there was, there wouldn't have been $650 in there.
You just keep going. You can tell I'm lying when I talk.
At all.
No, it's not.
We'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
You ain't lying about doing the news next, are you, baby doll?
No, there's a very big celebrity breakup in the news. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Tyson possibly facing jail time. And finally, Adam and Danny, you get to weigh in on the Trump-Rosie war.
Well, that ought to be good. We'll do all that after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Local, late breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
A 20-year-old in Wisconsin saw a dead deer on the side of the road. He decided to have sex with the dead deer.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Well, T?
Yes.
Ready to tee up the news,
sure,
baby doll?
Well, you may have seen the footage of Saddam Hussein just before his execution. We spoke about it a little bit yesterday. How did they get that footage from a cell phone? Well, Iraqi authorities reporting the arrests of two guards, and they're now investigating who it was that taunted Saddam Hussein as he stood on the gallows and took cell phone video and photos of it, of him showing his body dangling at the end of the rope. Now, meanwhile, the White House, Tony Snow in particular, has this to say.
There seems to be a lot of concern about the last 2 minutes of Saddam Hussein's life and less about the first 69 in which he murdered hundreds of thousands of people. That's why he was executed.
Yeah. He was a horrible guy. I'm glad they got some chanting in before the son of a bitch hung, and so be it. And they're investigating as to who was doing the Kurdish chant or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing it.
Well, much of the Sunni population of Iraq, from which Saddam Hussein came, are up in arms about the execution, and they're very
shocking.
About it.
They're upset over there.
And they're up in arms. They're all up in arms. They're in arms when they're happy. They're in arms when they're sad.
It'd be news when someone's putting down their arms.
They get married. They shoot arms. Everybody shoots everything.
Yeah, it's like, well, what are the occasions that you fire your M16s up in the air? Well, we do it when to celebrate, and then we do it when we're angry, and we do it when we're indifferent, and we do it on Thursday, and we do it at noon. Yes, you just fire the guns into the air.
My sister died. My sister got married. I hate America. It doesn't matter.
Whatever it is.
Sounds a lot like Koreatown.
I'm feeling peckish. I'm feeling peckish.
Fire guns.
The Bears made the playoffs.
It's Yom Kippur. Okay. Now, former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson was charged yesterday with drug possession and driving under the influence of drugs. And the prosecutor would like to send him to prison. As you know, he has been there before. So there's a high likelihood that he'll be sentenced to between 2.25 and 7.5 years. In prison. Now,
he's got parole. Some nasty priors.
Violations. Or priors, yes.
Priors. I believe he was convicted for rape and did time for that.
Interestingly enough, what that is called is they violate you. That's what it's called. When you're on probation and you break your probation, you are violated.
So he violated that beauty queen.
Yes, and now he's about to get violated and go right back to the joint.
Now, some interesting tidbits from the Smoking Gun website. Mike Tyson enjoys smoking cocaine inside his Marlboro cigarettes. That's what he told the cops. He rolls the cigarettes between his fingers until the tobacco falls out and then scoops the cocaine into the open end of the cigarette. Also, he likes to smoke pot, but he doesn't know how to roll a joint himself, so I guess he has friends who do that. And last little tidbit, he takes 100 milligrams of Zoloft per day and does not use meth.
That's nice.
I admire the ex-champ's candor.
A few things you learn.
I admire the fact that 100 mgs of Zoloft is almost nothing.
Really? Yeah. That's like a Pez for you?
Yeah.
There's nothing?
It's like the most prescribed 600 mgs. Now you're talking.
Now that's something.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 100, nothing.
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 Now, here's a story from the world of entertainment. I know you guys are going to be broken up about it.
I don't know. Mike Tyson on Zoloft is the story of entertainment with me. Can't roll a joint.
I call that a sports story.
Oh, okay.
Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz have reportedly broken up, according to Star Magazine. Diaz, 34, and Timberlake, 25, are over, they say.
How can he be not or barely halfway to 30? You know what I mean?
It's
seems
weird.
Like I've known his name since my junior year of high school.
Well, you have.
Is that what it is? Mickey Mouse Club?
Yeah, one of those. Yeah. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
I just feel like he should be at least 30.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that he brought Sexy back?
He brought Sexy back. This song sucks, everybody. Please, old white people, stop being afraid to be called old and white and just admit you think this song sucks.
And it's huge at weddings now.
No.
It's like the wedding song.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Yeah. And secondly, the Fergalicious song blows hairy ass as well. Please.
I'm fallen.
Which
one?
And I can't get up. Fergalicious. She's spelling out her name and saying that she's Fergalicious.
Right.
Yeah. The all-time loser song for me is the Lady Bumps thing. I love Lady Bumps or whatever that is.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of tops it for me.
I miss, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Right? Little Nelly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now, here's what happened to one 27-year-old man in Pennsylvania. He was driving along, and he craved a little porn. It happens.
It'll happen, yeah.
So he parked outside of an adult bookstore over there in Pennsylvania. But here's the thing. He had his child in the car at the time, and what was he going to do?
Right.
So
yeah, you can't take the toddler into the porn store. That's just wrong.
That's just wrong. Right. Right. So he left the 3-year-old sitting in the car while he went and proved. And you can't just grab the first porn you see. You know you have to look them over and decide.
You don't want to make an impulse porn buy. You can get burned. Believe you me. That's why when I open my porn store, I'm going to put a child hitching post out front.
Nice. So they're not locked in anything.
Right.
Yeah. Miniature take on the Gymboree. Maybe one of those inflatable castles they can bounce around in while daddy's in there making his porn purchase.
They have inflatable dolls
to play with.
Right. Someplace for the kids that's safe. Now, he went in there.
How long was he in there?
40 minutes, Danny.
Yeah, too long.
And
I was down with the guy, but it was like 5 minutes. Like, okay.
And well, here's what happened. About the 40-minute mark, and we were just talking about how most people are decent and good, and you can rely on that. And sure enough, some construction workers who were decent and good people noticed the 3-year-old child alone in the car while daddy was perusing porn. They called the cops. Cops found the boy. Unfortunately, he was okay. The man, ironically named John, was arrested for child endangerment. He said he was sorry to the cops and told them that he has, quote, an addiction to these types of stores.
Because it's tough to, I know from personal experience, it's tough to have arguments with cops when you have your keys in one hand and you bang as Uranus 13. In the other, and you're getting indignant.
Saying, up to 13.
I've never been so insulted in all my life.
That's your point. Stupid. I've only got up to number 9. That was it.
I've honestly rented maybe one porn in my life, and even that took an hour because there were so many, and there's so many varieties. How do you choose?
I was.
There's one variety, really.
I just walk around until one speaks to me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like what a lot of people say they do with the pound. You know what I mean? Speaking of pounding, they walk up and down the kennel, and they always say, like, the people that rescue dogs. And by the way, you picked up a stray. You didn't rescue a dog. You're so noble. But they go to the pound, and I just walk, and there she was, and she made eyes with me, and she came up, and I put my little fingers through the thing, and that's how I am with the porn. That's how I make my porn purchase.
You wait till one comes up to you.
I just walk up and down the aisle, and all of a sudden, I hear Taboo 3.
Going, Daddy.
The siren song.
Like a mermaid in the ocean to the sailor.
That's right.
Take me home.
And I get her shots, and I have her spayed or neutered, and I take her home.
If you could only do that reverse and just get yourself spayed or neutered, and then you wouldn't have to go to the porn store.
Speaking of kids in the porn store once and construction workers, I have a story here that's going to tie it all together.
That's going to be an amazing feat to watch.
Oh, you watch me, Bonaducci.
I'm waiting.
I was, thank you. I was living in Hollywood. Up on Franklin with...
are you a gypsy of some kind?
I've lived all over the place. Yeah, I bounced around a lot. And I was living with my same stripper girlfriend before we moved into the Santa Monica place in a single up on Franklin. And I got off my construction gig early for some reason. And I knew she wasn't getting home from her gig until late. And I thought, when you live in a single... A no bedroom. You don't find a lot of quality you time.
Right.
Right.
And I was like 24, 25, and I thought, I need a little ace time. So I swung by the porn barn that's on Western Boulevard right off of, I think it's off of Sunset
it's
or something.
Western and Hollywood.
Hollywood, yes.
To a massage place and a tattoo parlor.
There
Adam, this
go.
Is radio.
I think I may have stepped over Danny as I walked into the place. And as you know, this place is lit up like a circus. I mean, it's just neon all over the front and day glow paint. It's right on the curb. And I walked in there about 3 p.m. I did my little porn shop. There's no windows. There's not much light in there. But when you open the door, it's like a shaft of light comes through. And as I opened the door to leave with my pile of porn, there was a school bus, a municipal school bus, the long extendo school bus that was parked waiting to turn right onto Hollywood and just stopped right against the curb, backed up 3. And every 12-year-old in the bus had their face pressed up against the glass to see the crazy porn store with all the shiny things. And I just walked out into a sea of 13-year-olds all sitting up about eye line because they're up in the bus and just all staring at the crazy sick F who left the porn store.
I must apologize, by the way. That particular porn store is on Western and Santa Monica.
Oh, yes. Okay. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
It is. Near the Tropicana.
Because it's right on the street and there is a big, gigantic sign that says plenty of parking in rear. And I thought it was the name of a me. It is right to go rent plenty of bungee and rear.
I literally, I opened the door to the porn store and smashed my nose against the glass of the school bus. So I had to squeeze along the side to get back to my car. Well, and every kid was looking at me.
I'm torn because I want to continue with the news, but now I have a pressing question about the stripper and what time she got home at night.
And did she catch you having quality time?
No, and I don't think she was stripping at the time. But the good news about strippers is they make their own hours.
Right.
It's a good gig.
Flexible.
Flexible.
They're flexible in every way.
Yes. Not only can they put their knee behind their head, but their hours are flexible.
Okay. Let's talk about...
Fergalicious.
Yes, Fergalicious.
A 35-year-old woman.
Yes. And by the way...
No, this is a different song.
This is My Humps.
Oh, it sounds like Fergalicious.
Usually their songs are vastly different.
Yes.
Same singer, obviously.
I see. So Fergie is singing about her humps and being Fergalicious.
Yeah, Fergalicious also? No. Wow. I was going to call you Brialicious, but you're obviously not up to that.
Well, let's just call him Balldalicious and move on.
Okay, let's. Speaking of balls,
all right.
Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He has some hair.
Mm-hmm.
Does it. Weird things with it, but he does have hair. Now, he and Rosie O'Donnell have been in a feud, which probably has not escaped you. Last night on ET, Donald, and you know, he's very diplomatic when he has things to say. Here's what he had to say about Rosie O'Donnell and his issue with her.
If you talk to Rosie for a little while, she's crude, she's tough, she's arrogant, she's pushy, she's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate. I'm surprised at how many people, so many people, hate Rosie O'Donnell. They hate her. Hey, look, she did a show, it failed. Ultimately, it failed.
After about 13 years.
Yeah. Nice. $700 million and 5,000 episodes later, it failed.
Yes, and by the way, Donald Trump then went on Greta Van Susteren with a prediction.
Here's my prediction. She will have a huge fight ultimately with Barbara Walters, and she will be fired.
He told Larry King that he had had a private conversation with Barbara Walters, during which Barbara Walters admitted that she was sorry she had hired Rosie and that she was embarrassed by Rosie. Well, yesterday, Rosie was not on The View because she was on vacation that had been planned before. But
on that lesbian boat?
One of those lesbian cruises. And Barbara Walters defended her choice. Here's what she had to say.
While I'm clearing things up, Donald Trump also said that I am not happy with my decision to bring Rosie O'Donnell to this table. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have never regretted, nor do I now, the hiring of Rosie O'Donnell. When Rosie left her own show 4 years ago at the height of its popularity because she wanted to spend more time with her children, I thought that she would probably not come back to daytime and she wouldn't want to work in an ensemble. But she did, and she has said that she did it for me.
Doesn't Barbara have enough FU money socked away just to do away with all these crazy yentas and just enjoy the last 8 to 14 years of her life? You know what I mean?
I don't know because it's the business itself, not the money, I think. I think
it's addictive.
You don't ever get to retire. You know what I mean? Because I've been down this road before. The first time it was true, when the Partridge Family ended and I couldn't get work, I became a has-been. I was a person that you recognized from TV a long time ago, and he can't get work now. But if I were to retire, I'm financially okay. I'm on the Adam Carolla Show. I just wrapped up Breaking Bad. Things are great. If I said, you know what? I'm going to buy a ranch in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get to retire. You'll always be washed up in show business.
And
you don't get to quit voluntarily. The only one who ever did it successfully was Carson.
And I would argue as well, I'm a fan of Carson Daly myself. I would say...
I thought you meant Kressley.
I would say this as well. In other professions, when you've worked 30 years for the Department of Water and Power, or you've owned your own transmission shop for 30 years and then decided to retire, the phone doesn't ring 6 months later with your agent on the phone going, look, we have an offer for you to fix one more transmission. There's 50 large in it for you. We just need you to fly out to New York. That's what happens. You may retire, but the phone still rings and somebody throws some money at you. And the next thing you know, you're in Vegas. That's what happens doing three shows a day.
That's kind of funny because that was very close to the story I would tell. It was like, you know, you sit there, you do your job, you save up some money, you're doing really well, and then somebody throws some money at you, and all of a sudden, after 35 years of the business, you're the wacky sidekick on the Adam Carolla Show.
Okay, now, at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, let's just say you wanted to check in with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Your under 20-pound dog, because they do have a limit. You would have to pay a $125 pet fee in case your pet did any damage. But let's just say you wanted to treat your dog. You could get it a dog massage for $130. And then for an extra $220, they throw in some gourmet dog biscuits and a choice of nail buffing or nail polish, a souvenir photo, and a brisk walk.
Souvenir photo.
You
need to know
dog.
What your dog looks
you know
like.
What? I have one of those on every roller coaster I've ever been on with my kids at probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth. That souvenir photo of you with your hands in your hair going,
yeah. I realize, first off, I feel like we're dragging dogs into our world.
Yeah, we're talking about this.
I was just this morning in the pantry looking at a box of very expensive high-end, you know, shishi gourmet doggy bones that come from some upscale West L.A., whatever. My dog could give a rat's ass about that. What my dog wants is grizzle.
Right.
Greasy,
right.
Fatty grizzle. I have in one pouch next to the ultra high expensive ones that are made from a macrobiotic, a yeast free, whatever, that my dog just, if I put it in the dog's mouth, the dog opens the mouth, it falls to the floor, and then the dog looks at the thing and then looks back up at me, yeah, going, F you, what else you got, round eye? Because this ain't cutting it. Then I reach into the thing with that was made out of horse meat in Mexico some years back that's made out of compressed God knows what part of the horse is in this thing, and my dog cannot get enough,
sure,
of this. They're not up for the life we're trying to,
sure, we anthropomorphize
them.
The dog and think it needs a massage because we'd like,
what,
a massage.
What she said.
Yeah. Nice.
But
we all got it.
I will say this, Adam. It is adorable when you bring in Molly and she has on her little necklace.
That's true. I put the beads on her.
I know your wife does that, but I do find it really adorable.
Wow. I told Danny I gave Molly a pearl necklace. He high-fived me. And I said, no, Danny, nobody.
Just so you know, I told you I did a couple interviews about this show yesterday, yeah, and I referred to you as a man's man in every single one of them. And now, I said, you'll read it. Well, it's like working with Corolla. Well, we get along because he's a guy's guy. And now, you're putting a necklace on your pooch.
Listen,
no, his wife does it. It's cute.
I like to dress my dog up like Barbara Bush. What's the problem?
That came in the thing, too. You like to dress yourself like a lumberjack. I mentioned that to everyone, too. I said, I don't know why
Danny,
it comes in this lumberjack chic.
Me?
In all of them. In every one, in every one of them.
God bless you.
Not that I think you're that important. I'm just very smart. Of course I mentioned you, you spaz.
Don't mess with that.
Thank you. Very
all
low
right.
Self-esteem, yes.
We got bigger fish to fry than just the news, because I'm told that Wesley Audrey, who's the guy who jumped on the railroad tracks. And
yes.
I mean, you hear about this sort of Good Samaritan stuff or this hero stuff. Oh, she's a hero out of Iraq. Well, turns out her convoy gets ambushed. She gets shot in the knee. And the next thing you know, she's passed out.
Right.
That's not exactly diving on a grenade for your platoon. So many of these stories go that direction. As you get to the, as you scratch through the lottery ticket of their story, you realize they get less and less impressive as they go. This is more impressive as you go. This guy's standing at the subway. Kid has a seizure. Or
not
something.
The sandwich place.
Yeah, he had a seizure, an 18-year-old.
Not the sandwich place. 18-year-old kid falls onto the tracks. The train is coming down the tunnel. What's he do? He dives down onto the tracks. He tries to get the kid out from the pit. He can't lift the kid out of the pit. So he rolls him over in between the tracks and shields him with his body while two trains go past him.
Oh, my God.
And he has, I think, a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old or a 9-year-old or whatever standing there thinking, well, when you see the train pass right over where Daddy was, even a 7-year-old can do the math on that one.
Right.
This is a true hero. This wasn't one of his children. This was a stranger.
Yes.
We'll talk to Wesley, the hero, after this.
Adam Carolla Show, where we're talking to Wesley Autry, the man who jumped on the tracks of a New York subway to save a kid from certain death. Let's get the whole story on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's about it. Let's move on. Rich man, poor man. No. Wesley is on the phone. I saw the story. It was on CNN. Maybe it was Tuesday, and I thought, wow, this is a real hero, not the sort of inflated called 911 hero.
Right.
Dove on the tracks hero. Wesley, good to speak to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing is the big question.
Fine.
So tell us, bring us back. What day did this happen?
Two days ago.
It's only 2 days ago?
Yes.
All right. And what happens? How old are your two daughters, by the way?
My daughters are 6 and 4.
Six?
They was with me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we come into the subway station. We see the guy having a seizure. He falls out on the platform. Me and two other ladies assisted him.
Slow down, hero. He falls off of the platform.
No. He had the seizure on the platform. You know what I'm saying? So I come to his rescue there. Okay, after he comes around, he gets up, he walks off, he stumbles to the left, stumbles to the right, to the left, to the right, and he falls over into the tracks. Okay.
Fall is about 4 feet?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when he falls into the track, it just a train just pulled out, so it took all the gentlemen or guys who probably would have been able to help me get him up out of the tracks. Mm-hmm. So it was just me, my two daughters, and two ladies left.
Mm-hmm.
So when he falls into the track, he has another seizure. Mm-hmm. But he's kicking his hands and legs, and I'm saying, wow. I goes over, I look, I see our oncoming train. No, and I'm saying, well, somebody got to save this guy.
Well, now, but, hold on. He's on the track. He's fallen down.
Right.
You can hear that another train is coming, or you can see that another train is coming.
Another train coming, because I bend over and I look uptown and I can see two lights coming. So I immediately hop down and I hop down over him. I reached out my hand. I tried to pull him up, but he land in the gutter, so he's wet. You know what I'm saying? Each time I go to grab him, I lose grip. And each time I lose grip, I look up. I see the two lights getting closer and closer. I tried at least about maybe 3 times to try to get him up. But on the 3rd time, I was like, you know what? It looked like the gutter be big enough for him to fit in. Maybe if I lay on top of him, lock his arms and lock his legs and his hands down, you know what I'm saying, to keep him...
In the gutter next to the track.
Between the tracks. Right.
See, that's probably where my good Samaritan axe would have ended.
The gutter.
I would have just grabbed his wallet, taken his fillings, and called it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you were trying to keep him from moving because he was still seizing.
Yeah, he was kicking his feet and stuff.
Exactly. So, you know, as I see this own approaching train coming, I'm like, you know what? It looked like it may be enough clearance. Plus, you know, he's going to be okay. But I was worried about if there was enough clearance for me to lay down on top of him and keep him pent.
Now, Wesley, by the way, mm-hmm. Well, I was going to reset, but I think you're doing a fine job of explaining that he saved somebody who was in the New York subway. The gutter in between the two tracks is is about how low underneath the top of the track?
From what I was told in the MTA printed in the paper, different stations have different heights. Some of them are 18, some of them are 21, and some are 24. I guess ours was somewhere 21 or better, because it gave us just enough clearance. If it was anything other than 21, then the train would have gotten me.
Right, and you were on top of the guy to stop him from flailing.
So it shaved like the top 2 inches off your whole body.
Right, and so not only were you down underneath the train in the gutter with the guy you've never met before, but you're actually laying on top of him to shield his body.
Right.
Now the train then, I mean, there must have been a moment when the train was approaching and the noise and the dust and what else. Nice. There must have been a point where you thought, well, I'm dead, right?
Once I felt on top of him and the first train car just grazed my cap, right, and it left some smut and dust on it, right? And once the first car grazed me and I just bent my head down more, and that first car went past me, I knew we was going to be okay. But my thing still, too, was to keep him still so he wouldn't push me up. Because, you know, when you got a person pinned down, they still trying to push you up.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Right. And plus, once the guy came out of the seizure and just figured he was being raped by a strange man on some railroad tracks, must have been weird for him.
I tried to resuscitate some chicks that weren't actually choking, and they get really mad.
You got to turn them over on their back.
You were face down, yes?
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
And there are tons of rats in there, right?
Yeah, I'm talking to him, I'm like, yo, you got to be still. And then the train came to a stop. Five cars have passed over us. But now...
Five cars passed over you.
So now I got to wait. Because the police were, and the MTA guy was saying, yo, you guys still can't move because we got to kill the power on the third rail. So I have to lay on top of this guy another 20 minutes because the guy wanted me up off of him. They was like, no, pin him down because we still got to kill the power.
The third rail supplies the power to the subway train.
There seems to be, at nowadays, there's probably a better way to propel the subway than an electronic third rail that can just kill you, and it's completely unprotected.
Yeah, it is weird when you go down to the subway in New York and you realize that it's just wide open platforms. Yeah. You could step right off it and into the train at any time.
Yeah. I used to think that in the subways. I'd be standing there waiting for the subway, not like all the time, but every now and again it would just cross my mind. I'd see the train coming. It's coming around the bend. I'd see it whizzing down, and I'd just look at it when it was maybe 10 feet away, and I'd think, this would be a terrible time to go insane.
Yes.
This would be such a bad time to go crazy. Whoops, I wouldn't do it. So that was nice. But, I mean, before the train smudged your cap, when Adam was saying the noise is coming, before it actually happened, wasn't there a moment before the train was on top of you where you went, bad call, I'm going to die here on top of this epileptic?
Yes, well, that crossed my mind, too. But like I said, once the train just grazed my head and the first car passed over me, I knew we was going to be okay at first, the train, you know, rolling over us. But my thing was to keep Cameron on. Still, so he wouldn't lose a limb, and plus, you know, he may grab something underneath the bottom of the train, and we were flying in water, you know what I'm saying? We could have got electrocuted.
Well, Wesley, first off, your kids, who I hope are in therapy as we speak.
They
were, you have a four-year-old and six-year-old daughters standing there watching a train pass by, two trains pass by where Daddy was.
Well, they were screaming and crying, but the two ladies that was assisting me at first, when he had his first seizure, they grabbed my kids. So I looked back at them and gave them a sign, like, listen, hold my kids down. I got to jump out over here.
That's actually very smart. How old are your twins?
They're seven months.
Seven months. Okay.
No, they're not twins. They're six and four.
Thank you, Wesley. I was talking to Mr. Corolla. See, both my kids would jump in after me.
Oh, really?
Not knowing the dangers. I'm not saying they'd risk their lives for me.
I'm saying the reaction would be to help me.
To help you.
Yeah, I was told afterwards that...
Hold on. I was told they'd start chilling the champagne, but...
No, see, if they understood...
Maybe that was Gretchen.
If they understood what was happening, the first thing they would do was jump in after Daddy.
Well, I think Mr. Autry had some nice Good Samaritans watching his children to make sure they didn't do that, right?
So now Wesley, or Mr. Autry, 51-year-old, by the way, Vietnam vet.
Vietnam era.
That's what I love. So now... have you spoken to the young 18-year-old that had the seizure?
The day that it happened, I went by the hospital to see him. We spoke briefly. I was like, yo, I'm the guy that saved your life. But he was a little sedated. Mm-hmm. So I proceeded on to work. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm a construction worker. So I was on my way to work when all this taking place.
And how has your life changed?
It's like I'm getting calls about people offering stuff for my kids, trips to Disney World and scholarships.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Has Oprah called?
Well, my mom just got a message about 2 minutes ago that Oprah called.
That's right.
Yeah.
By the way, that was Kyle, our phone screener. That's how we get people on the phone.
Luckily, both your kids are gonna go to this new school she built in South Africa, free of charge.
Yes. I was reading about that.
You're gonna take a school bus to South Africa. We leave 4 days early. All right, well, Wesley, God bless you.
Thank you.
And I have to say, and again, in a society where even people that pick up a cell phone and call 911 are now considered heroes,
right.
I don't break it down that way. There's heroes, and then there's heroes. There's the S any of us would have done, and then there's the S none of us would have done. He falls into the none of us would have
he
done
really
this.
Does.
And that's a hero, because falling on a grenade, none of us would do. That's a hero. Calling 911 from your apartment, looking out the window, not a hero. And again, I do feel like we try to elevate almost every decent act into, oh, it's a hero. She's a hero. He's a hero. And then as you get into it, it's like, eh, not so much.
See, I actually have hero scenarios going on in my head at certain times where I think something could go wrong. And I think I'm going to save the day and I'm going to be the hero. I have a Lone Ranger like hero thing happening where I'm really aware of everything. If that guy's going to rob the bank, I'm going to grab him and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you right now, my cutoff point is jumping under a moving freaking train for a stranger.
Yes.
You know, and I put myself out there. I put myself out there physically for sure. I would not do that.
Well, he served in Vietnam, so he's probably seen worse things.
We will move.
Yeah, he served in about 77. What he saw was the evacuation.
We will move forward. How dare you? We will move forward. Revising something that you guys remember from 06 called Rich Man, Poor Man. Now, Danny, if you don't know how this goes, it dawned on me, I think it was about 3 years ago, I was sitting at the writer's table over at the Jimmy Kimmel show, and I was thinking about the outdoor shower. And I thought, if your house has an outdoor shower, you're either very rich or very poor. There's no middle class guy with an outdoor shower. And then I started thinking about all the other things that the rich and the poor shared, but that the middle class didn't share, like multiple cars. Rich people have a Ferrari and a Bentley and a Maserati. Poor people have a ton of cars, too. They're rusting on the lawn.
On blocks.
And they're
sure.
up on blocks. There's an El Camino up on blocks and a dirt driveway, but they have multiple cars. Whereas the middle class doesn't, they have, the wife has one. I got the station wagon. Right. That's about it. Kids out of wedlock. Lots of kids out of wedlock. Long driveways.
Right.
Shotgun shacks at the end of long dirt driveways or the long circular one with the gilded gate, whatever. Point is there are many things the rich and the poor share. I'd like to hear some of your input on this. 866-901-ADAM. I have some. Danny has some. Teresa has some. We got some new. We'll do a little recap and we'll hear yours after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
Play a little Rich Man, Poor Man. These are things that the very rich and the very poor have in common, but don't really mean that much to the middle class.
Celebrates with fireworks. Rich guys hire a barge to be pulled out in front of their lakeside home and have a fireworks display, and then poor guys just light off crap in the street and just throw it all around.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Back to Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Rich Man, Poor Man. I have a few new ones. You have some of your own. 866-901-ADAM. You guys said, I got to say, I'm always prepared to be disappointed by the folks that call into this show to try to create a little content for
right.
it. I understand they're great when we're laughing at them.
Right,
like
sure.
Like that crazy broad that was being raped by a zucchini yesterday.
Loved her.
Loved her. But when it comes to the comedy writing, I'm usually disappointed, but not when it comes to Rich Man, Poor Man. For some reason, everybody comes through. Yeah. Is this our theme music? I forgot about it.
Yeah.
So here's some new ones for 07. Wears a full sweatsuit. This is a move that rich guys and poor guys do. The poor guys, the black guy shuffling around with the... crappy, worn out velour one. And then the rich guy's the guy with the monogram and the whatever. Maybe he's just got off the tennis court. But the full sweatsuit, along with this move, the slippers outdoors.
Yeah, slippers, that's special.
Slipper outdoor is either the super poor guy who's just waiting in line to buy a lottery ticket or the Thurston Howell the Third
type.
It's half.
It's half.
That's right. Really any apparel you shouldn't be wearing outdoors or vice versa, that is a rich guy and a poor guy move. Custom-made coffin. Either you're a Liberace and the thing has gold leafing on it, or you're a morbidly obese 800-pound person that needs to be buried in a piano case.
And usually Jerry Springer is attending your funeral.
Or at least chipping in to pay for some of the custom coffin. But a custom coffin is not a move of the middle class. Let's talk to some of you. This one's interesting. Daryl?
Yes.
Rich man, poor man, how say you?
Well, sort of the ongoing... home improvement projects.
Mm-hmm. House is constantly under construction. Now, for the rich guy, he's putting on a library with a ballroom attached to it. But the poor guy is stretched another hefty bag over the hole in the roof and then caulked it in with toothpaste. But it's a constant.
It's the Winchester house of cardboard boxes.
Right. Yeah, the poor guy is constantly under construction because there's a tree root pushing up through the slab in the kitchen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. See, well done.
Nice job, Daryl. What business are you in, Daryl?
Right now, I'm driving my pest control truck trying to kill some rats.
Hey, what are you doing after the show? Because guess what came across my kitchen table this morning?
Really?
Huge rat.
Across the table.
And up a broom handle, and then literally 10 inches or more up just a wall into a hole.
Wow.
Just climb the wall.
Let's talk after. We'll talk off the air, and I'll give you our number.
Across the kitchen table while you were at the kitchen table?
I came down this morning. Actually, not the kitchen table, the big counter in the center of the kitchen.
The island.
The island. So it had to have gotten up there, too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that happened.
Yes.
And I hit the lights, and it went running across the counter, down onto the ground, then up a broom handle, and then up just the wall, a regular, you know, drywall wall for 10 or 12 inches and then to a hole.
I don't want to correct you, Danny, but I believe rats scurry.
What the mice do.
They don't run, yes.
Daryl, is that correct? Do they scurry?
They do scurry.
Rodents don't run, they scurry. Really? Their legs are too short to run.
I've been going to the rat derby most of my life.
Okay, Danny, off the air. Let's save this off the air. All right, Daryl. Well, by the way, Daryl, I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but do not start with right now when people ask you what you're doing. Right now, because we're already poised for disappointment when we hear right now. Look, if you're trying to pick up a chick, do not start with right now.
Well, piggybacking on Daryl's, inheriting your home is rich man, poor man.
Yes, that's true. There's just the shotgun shack you inherit, and then there's the castle that you inherit.
Here's, well, in that case, how about the mobile home? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new mobile homes where the sides shoot out?
Yes.
And there's TVs everywhere. I just rented a really poor man one and went to Mexico, and the guy had a button he pushed where an outdoor kitchen came out the side of his mobile home with a giant screen TV in it.
And then a rat scurried across it.
Okay, and so you take that, and now with all the new laws in downtown L.A., you have to be able to pack up your home at sunset every day. So the mobile home has got to be of the rich man.
Yeah,
and the poor
man. There's just the ramshackled old one from the 50s that's made of corrugated tin and it's up on cinder blocks. And then there's the one Jeff Gordon tools around in Bangs Group.
Right, or even more mobile, it's just a cardboard box. You fold it up and move it to the next intersection.
The ultimate mobile home, the refrigerator box. Catherine?
I was thinking a pack of dogs roaming the property.
Yes. If you head down to the bad part of town and go to the inner city, you will see the brothers and the gangbangers over there with the Rottweilers and the pit bulls running around the property protecting the dirt lawn that they live in. And if you head to the upscale part of town, you will see the trained dogs that are patrolling the rolling hills of the estates of the places up in Bel Air. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like one group can financially handle a lawsuit when the dog bites the mailman. The other doesn't care. It's funny. When it comes to, and maybe this is a rich man, poor man, too, it's just sort of fear of lawsuits. Rich guys have attorneys. They have insurance. They have people that handle this. Poor guys, like, so sue me. I got a pair of cutoff sweats that have a huge Duke floating in them and a car that doesn't run.
I barely own the dog that bit you.
Right. Deep pockets. I got pockets that are like out of my pants, like a cartoon.
That's right. They're so deep. Yes. Nice one, Catherine. See, people coming through. Here's an interesting one. We'll see if we can make this one work. Rich man, poor man, Irene.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, baby doll. How say you?
I'm all right. Mm-hmm. Well, how about this? Rich people get actual portraits of their kids painted, and the poor people get their portraits at the county fair.
Ah.
Mm, You mean the one where the kid's on the skateboard with the hearts coming out of their head chasing the chick?
Yeah,
you mean the caricature
and the head
one?
Is like three quarters of the page and their body's just like 2 inches.
Yeah, I'm with you on the rich man portrait part, but I think the middle class goes over to Knott's Berry Farm and does that too.
I got to say, Knott's Berry Farm, one of my favorites because there's not that many lines there and the kids still love it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, no amusement park or county fair with a couple of kids is a cheap day out.
Yeah.
It is not an inexpensive day out.
Well, let me adjust Irene's, because I think rich man, poor man, I think bad, really bad art. Poor man has like a watercolor from Sears in his trailer, and rich man has some mixed media sculpture that no one understands. It's ugly.
Big, gaudy, poor art. Yes.
Bad art.
In your face art.
Yes.
Yeah, same with jewelries we discussed. Rich women wear lots of very expensive whatever, and then the poor chick wears the huge clamp-on, you know, hubcap-sized clamp-on earrings and stuff, too. The extremes,
gaudiness.
I think. All right, let's see.
I used to work at Knott's Berry Farm, so, I mean, I know it's not cheap.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what'd you do there?
I was a ride operator.
What ride?
Accelerator, Supreme, Scream, and Boomerang.
Nice rides. That's a couple different rides. That's not all the same ride. Nice rides.
Yeah, all boardwalks. I mean, it was big pain in the ass, but, you know, you have to actually learn everything, every single inch of your ride before you can operate it.
And what are you doing now, Irene?
I work on subpoenas.
You mean serving subpoenas?
Running
not
from them?
No, not running from them. I actually coordinate in getting the records for subpoenas that are served.
Well, I can see your many years in the amusement park industry will serve you well.
Not wasted at all.
One leads naturally to the next.
Yeah.
Hey, Irene.
Yeah.
Remember how what seemed like 20 minutes ago when I was explaining you head down to Knott's Berry Farm and then you said you worked at Knott's Berry Farm?
Yes.
Seems interesting, right, that I would pick the place that you did work?
Yeah.
Okay. Always not
now,
much.
Who else has got some stories?
I always feel like people are underwhelmed by that kind of stuff. You know, I've done it. I should learn now not to be disappointed, but it's happened.
The batting cage one from Loveline was
happened many times. One time I was on Loveline and the chick just called in, and they don't say anything to the phone screen.
Right.
Like, oh, by the way, I'm an ex Knott's Berry Farm employee.
Right.
They just say, I'm Irene, and I'm 35, and I'm calling Rich Man Poor Man. Once we were doing Loveline, some chick called in, and she was complaining about her boyfriend. And I said, look, dump this loser. You don't need this guy. The guy doesn't treat you well. He's abusive. He works in a batting cage. Screw him. You need nothing. I was just trying to reach for an interesting example of a crappy job that's a dead-end job. And then about 5 minutes later, I said, well, by the way, what does this guy do for a living? And she said, works at a batting cage.
Completely underwhelmed by the...
I said, yes, you did not want to... The fact that I guessed that he worked at a batting cage where it was not mentioned, it's a unique job.
Get used to the disappointment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. I don't ask for much. I don't want people to say, oh, my God, you're clairvoyant, you have a crystal ball, what a gift, you're Nostradamus. What I would like is a funny you should bring up Knott's Berry Farm because I used to work at... you know, just that. That's all. That's all I want
just
out of you people.
Just acknowledge it.
Just acknowledge me, please, Daddy.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
Thank you.
If you think about it, Irene, when he said Knott's Berry Farm, I even offered, oh, that's interesting, that's my favorite, because the lines are short.
That's right.
Irene had every opportunity.
You worked there.
That's
right. You could have offered Corolla a little bone there.
How about a little bone? Or something for my bone. Jason?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good. What's up, brother?
Hey, you know what? I think large consumption of alcohol is a rich man, poor man deal.
Yeah. I think it's one we covered at some point, but lots
of
booze.
Speaking of acknowledging, that's what I do for a living. I acknowledge people.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, get busy, brother. I'm right here.
Take care, man.
That was your acknowledgement?
Yeah, that's it. That's as good as it gets.
Okay.
Boy, this is gonna be fun.
I'll put a finer point on his large consumption of alcohol. Drinking from flasks or bottles that you have on your person outside of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Rich guy out on a yacht, maybe he's gonna have a nip off of his silver snifter or silver what was I just saying it was?
Flask.
A silver little flask. And then the wino out with the bottle and nitrate out in the
Diddy
alley.
Or Diddy with his Cristal.
Yes, Diddy with his Cristal.
I used to do that, drink out of a flask.
Living at the beach, really?
Yeah, because I had publicly stated that I was getting sober years before I did. I didn't lie. I meant it. Mm-hmm. I meant alcohol's ruining my life, and I'm going to rehab, and when I get out, I'm going to be great. And I went to rehab and drank on the way home. But by that time, it'd been on the Inquirer and stuff. I mean, look at this tattoo.
Right.
That date in the middle of my arm there.
Right.
That's my sobriety date.
5/3/05.
Yeah. That's my sobriety date.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally friggin' wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I drank like 4 days later.
Oh, well, you can easily make that 5 to 6.
I can. I can put next to it, too. But because of the way I drank, I also have 7 people's names tattooed on my body, and I can identify 5 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
2 you don't know? Are they women's
names?
Not
a clue. 1 is Jane.
You don't know who Jane is?
I've heard she was a waitress. A spectacular waitress at that.
And who's the other name?
It's on my back, so I think it's Sue.
Wow.
I don't know who that is, either.
Wow. Wife must be delighted.
You know what? I went to get her name, of course, and she said, I am not joining that club of loser bitches all over your body.
Yes.
Don't you put my name anywhere.
The ink whore corral that's on your back.
Yeah, well, they're all over. They're all over.
So you went home with Jane and Sue.
I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't quit drinking. It's like Dr. Phil asked me, he goes, now, have you ever been behind the wheel of a car while intoxicated?
Let's get some hookers and some coke. And go crazy.
I'm guessing you circled the globe several times.
I looked at the guy and I said, dude, if I could drink and then think driving is a bad idea, I'd still drink. The fact that I drink and then think I should not only drive, but I should go 100 miles an hour while driving from the passenger seat with my left arm, making everybody think there's nobody really driving, because that would be funny.
Yeah.
That's why I quit drinking, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, it's a good
point. With Jane on my lap. Jane and Sue.
I'm assuming Jane was wonderful, but I really don't know who the hell she is.
Well, listen, Jane, if you're listening.
Call.
And you're currently working at a diner and you recognize Danny Bonaducci, please call in.
It meant
Wind
a lot
Baker
to him.
For you. Or if you have a good rich man, poor man, Jane, we'll hear from you as well. Living at the beach, Rob says.
I was going to say that was going to be one of mine.
Well, Rob has stolen your thunder once again, Rob.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Living at the beach.
Yeah, I grew up middle class and I could never afford to live at the beach, but apparently a lot of homeless people can.
Yeah, they use the free shower and they live at the beach. And then, of course, there's the folks living in the Malibu colonies.
Owned by Mel Gibson.
12 million. Well, he owns
Malibu,
Sugar Beet, so do not forget that. He's the king of Malibu. All right, Rob.
I was going to say that with Mexico, trips to Mexico.
Yeah.
Because I have been rich man, poor man. I've been to both ends of this spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was living in my car for a while, I said, well, why am I living in my car in Hollywood where everybody knows I'm a big loser now?
Right.
And I went down to somewhere between Tijuana, Rosarita, and Ensenada. Not any of those three places, like in between all of them. So I wouldn't be seen and be all left alone. I could just drink myself to death on this stuff called Tic Tac, which then came out in the papers was causing blindness in the indigenous Indians in the area.
Wow.
So I would try and read my books from a different distance every day to make sure I wasn't going blind. But I lived in Mexico on the beach for like 8 weeks, and I had maybe $40 on me.
I've done some bivouacking on Mexican beaches before myself. We used to drive into Tijuana and just get loaded. And instead of get a hotel, why get a hotel when you're loaded and you can spend that money on booze? We just drive toward the beach, spread out the old blanket, and wake up the next morning with the dogs that walk sideways.
Yeah.
And their tails tucked in between their legs, just roving around. You know, you forget about Mexico. You hear about the lawlessness and about the pharmacies and the people and all that stuff. Let's not forget about the pets.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, when the people are at a certain poverty level, the pets over there, roaming the streets and walking sideways. We need to take ourselves a little break. Who's rich man, poor man? Been a while. Ethnic wife, Brett says. Wait a minute.
That's not cool. Why don't you go there?
I just want to check this one. Brett?
Yeah, hey.
You say ethnic wife.
Yeah, like rich man's got the beautiful statuesque Latina or something.
No, not Latina. He's done the Trump one. He's gone to
Slovenia
and grabbed himself a nice. He's gone to a Czech Republic and grabbed a nice model,
right?
Or you know, Ivanka or that kind of thing. That's that sort of Zsa Zsa Gabor,
right?
and then the poor guy.
Yeah, what's the poor guy do? Because I'm curious about this.
Poor guy's got some vicious, mean Barrio chick who wants to kill him every other day.
Yeah, but isn't he a vicious, mean Barrio guy? So she's not ethnic to him. She's only ethnic to you.
I don't think it's exclusive, Danny. I really don't.
Listen, I'll give it a 5.5,
yeah,
Brett.
Yeah.
Because you picked the same nationality. You picked the Mexican wife and the Mexican wife sort of twice, which is not a great sell. If you would have gone my Slavic route, and believe me, you haven't lived until you've gone the Aces Slavic route. If you've gone the Slavic route, I would have given you a pass on it. But interesting, and thus caught my eye. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. But the good news is, we have a porn star coming up. Maya Luana is coming in.
Maya Luana?
Maya Luana.
You realize that's the setup for a knock-knock joke right there, don't you?
AVN's Paul Fishbein is coming in as well. I guess we're going to talk a little AVN awards. That's a big adult video awards coming up. And shockingly, not in Utah this year, everyone. They're moving it to Las Vegas.
Shocker.
We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little porn after this.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Strange thing, are you fool is a sacred cave.
If you said Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Bill and Ted.
I didn't realize that was one of the greats.
Dawson and Lynch were having a nerd off in the production room yesterday, evidently.
It was that or Clerks.
They're having some kind of off in there right now, too, I'm thinking.
Well, it starts with a J. That's all I know. Paul Fishbein, good to see you.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Maya Luana, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if your mic is hot or on or get on.
Her mic is hot.
I just speak softly.
Can't do that.
Ah, well, put it right next to that soup cooler.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Maya is a adult film actress. You know her from such works as Asian Invaders 2.
Excellent Asian Fever.
Work. On Your Knees, Bitch. Slant-Eyed Sluts. China Syndrome 2. They don't dance around the racial issue. That's what I like. And as I spoke, I don't know if you guys are a fan of the number one Asian big boob queen, Minka.
Do you know her?
Hold on a second. Paul.
Yes.
You publish the AVN catalog. It's a phone book of pornography. You do not know Minka?
No, I know. I've heard the name. But
you've heard the name?
Yeah.
Wow. You are on my last nerve.
Because Adam really likes her a lot.
She's a number one Asian big boob queen.
Who made her the number one Asian big boob
queen? God! And a surgeon. I feel like I'm talking to a guy who works at the Baseball Hall of Fame and he's never heard of Babe Ruth.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I'm sorry, I don't know Minka that well.
Wow. Wow. Hold on. Dan, take over for a minute. Okay, I feel like I'm reeling here. I need a minute.
Would be your number one pick for the number one porn star working today?
In terms of most popular, best-selling...
See, now I hate you.
Who do you like?
What are you in the witness protection program?
Politician.
Let me ask it to you this way. You're on a desert island, and you can have one porn to watch. Who is the female star of that porn?
Well,
Minka.
Minka. Maya.
Oh, thank you.
Ryan, hop on the computer and tell me how many movies Minka's been in.
Our cousin Paul's going to answer our question, right?
Currently working?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Casey Parker.
Now I got to write her name down I don't know the newbies. Now the AVN Awards, that's something that you masterminded some years ago, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, it basically evolved as the Academy Awards of the adult business about 24 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it just started as a little press conference in Las Vegas and built into this show that's now more like the MTV Awards.
It's gigantic. I've never been to it, but I've been in Vegas when it was there.
Yeah.
And it I don't know if it was in the convention center or the thing I was doing was in the convention center, but it's gigantic.
Yeah, we started out at various ballrooms and hotels, and now we outgrew the Venetian Hotel, and we're at the Mandalay Bay Event Center.
And is there, and it was chronicled in the movie Boogie Nights, right, when they took the van ride. And Boogie if you tell Nights, me you haven't seen Boogie
no,
Nights,
no, I know Boogie
you.
Nights. Boogie Nights ended right before AVN, our magazine, began. Boogie Nights ended in the early 80s. AVN was started in 1983.
But at some point, they got into a van and they drove to Vegas for the Porn Awards, for lack of a better title.
In Boogie Nights? No, you're confused with The Girl Next Door. They drove in a van to Vegas for
our awards. You're working your way into the mire, Bob.
No,
they got into the van.
Oh, Boogie Nights was the Adult Film Association Awards.
Which took
place...
Totally different animal.
When it was a theatrical business, when movies were in theaters.
Ah.
And right. That's what got you it. Saw in Boogie Nights. Because Boogie Nights ended in 82.
All right, Adam.
Yes.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, but since we're getting squat out of Fishbine here, there's like the hottest porn star in the world sitting there, and we're ignoring her.
I agree.
And I'm going to question your manhood in about a second.
Yes. I agree. Teresa?
She starred in Me Love You Long Time, 1-7.
Hold on a second. Minka won an AVN award.
Minka won an AVN award!
Oh my god, you guys! She's not here!
Big Bus Video of the Year, 1998.
How can you forget that, Paul?
Come on. Maya Angelou is here. Wait, that can't possibly be her name, Maya Angelou.
How much coke were you on, Paul, that you don't even know who received your own award?
That is a lie.
Why? Do you think you know the name of every slut that won the porn award at Jerry Fenn?
Actresses.
I mean actresses. Artists.
She might have been in the 1998 video that won the award, but it doesn't even have a title there.
Okay.
How dare you
besmirch
the good name of Minka?
There are
10,000 beautiful girls in this business. So many beautiful girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm done with Minka.
Can I just do this and just get to something that I care about personally?
Maya Luana.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, baby. How many guys have you done it with in one day?
Three.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I was waiting for 50 or something.
How many women in one day?
About five.
Five.
Is that good?
Okay, now, if you put them all together, have you done it with eight other human beings in a single day?
Yes.
All right. Rock.
Now
we're talking.
Well, Maya, do these titles bother you like slant-eyed sluts?
No, not at all.
They don't bother me.
No.
They don't look at that as derogatory?
No.
You don't?
No.
And how are you? Do your folks know you're in the industry?
They do.
Are they out here?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're Thai.
I'm Thai.
Is that true? Yes. Yeah. See, this is the Asian flute. And when you hear the Asian flute, the truth is being spoken.
Absolutely.
So far, you're not lying. Three guys, five chicks, one day. Parents know. Are they upset? Are they cool with it? Are they proud? Oh, yes, they're upset. Yes.
Oh, yeah, they disown me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really?
That's not true.
No, they know what I do.
And yeah, but do they approve?
They approve of what I do.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Do you think that's a thing where you kind of have to? Because this is a terrible, weird,
look, it's
sick
like when
thing.
My son goes gay in about 16 years. I can't be the dad that disapproves when he talks.
See?
Yes, I would like to kill myself and walk around with a pillowcase on my head, but I have to pretend like he's still my son, I love him very much, and all that stuff.
Because it makes me not crazy that I'm the only father who thinks that. So what if they go gay in a while? So what if, I was watching a porno, and on the coming attractions came a thing for another porno, and the title of the movie was Somebody's Daughter. And I went, oh my God. It just wrecked my 8-year-old or however she was then is asleep upstairs and there's a porn coming on called Somebody's Daughter. So I'm wondering, do they have to approve because it's now done? And if they don't approve, they just have to kill themselves a horrible Thai death? Or do they really go, well, that's her choice and I approve and support her?
Well, basically, my father told me, you know, you're a woman now, you're an adult, you know, I can tell you what to do. So if you're happy doing what you're doing, then I'm happy for you.
I can't tell you what to do means I hate what you're doing, but you're living out of the house.
Well, one of her porns is actually called With Daddy's Permission. Isn't that right, Maya?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I've just handed a note. Minka has made at least 113 porn movies.
You're obsessed, man.
At least 113, Paul. I really, this is disappointing.
I can give you some boring radio and name 10,000 other hot girls.
All right, just Minka. The fact that it's you don't know Minka.
I know the name. I could not picture her.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Call yourself
look
an expert.
Look at this. Look what you have here.
Maya's right here.
Beautiful Asian girl.
Maya's right here.
But she's not the number one Asian big boob queen.
She does have gorgeous boobs, which you can't see because she's very short and she's sitting low.
That's
but maybe
true. She's petite. Yes, just a solid C cup.
I was going to tell you this. When you were talking about the Ukrainian and Slavic models and stuff, I cannot bear their accent. I hate that accent, and no matter how beautiful they are, that would drive me crazy. That if I lean towards a nationality or any particular group, it's Asians, and a whole big thing. Have you noticed that about a lot of American men have a thing for Asian
women?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that a fetish?
It's a preference.
It's certainly a preference, but some guys prefer blondes. That's not a fetish.
If you think about it, there's certain things that certain cultures sort of embody. Like, for instance, most guys don't like a hairy woman. Well, the Asians are less hairy than many other cultures. Most guys like tan skin. Well, the Asians have tan skin. There's certain sort of head starts that they almost have that makes you not like them because it's a fetish, just because I don't like a big patch of hair on some lily white skin. Yeah. I like some tan skin.
In my case, you're overthinking. It's just a group of people that I'm usually taller than.
And that is a stretch. Paul.
Yes.
Let's talk a little 24th annual AVN Awards, if you don't mind. What are some of the categories, and what would be the big category, since you brought up the Oscars? What's the lifetime achievement?
Well, the big,
do you have
the
one? Big,
yeah, well, we have a Hall of Fame.
Ah.
We enter some people in the Hall of Fame.
Minka
next year.
No, but Seika's there next to Dick Rambo, next to all the greats.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, best video and best film are big awards.
So that's the big one is the best film of the year.
Best video of the year, best video feature of the year. But we have some great ones. I mean, the Oscars don't have sex scene awards. So we have best, I'll do my best here not to get you guys bleep, but we have best oral sex scene, best three-way sex scene, best...
Do you show clips?
You can say anal?
Yes, we can.
Anal sex scene.
You do. Now, like the Oscars, they'll show a little snippet of Titanic or Brokeback Mountain or whatever. Will you show a snippet of the best anal?
There are video. There's a lot of video, but there's no... we don't show hardcore
Did you ever see a great Sylvester Stallone movie called Fist?
Yes, I did.
In the bad category?
No. We cannot have a fisting category.
Best fisting?
Yes. Making up Sylvester Stallone movies. That's one of my favorites.
And the quick question. When they win, do you have a band that plays them off if they get long-winded?
We have live music. Yeah, we have a great band.
And have any of the porn stars ever got up there and thanked God?
And they thank God. They thank their mother.
Really?
They thank their husbands. They thank their grandparents. They cry.
Do they ever make inappropriate political statements?
No such thing as an inappropriate political statement.
They don't have,
the
they don't have an American Indian except for them or anything.
Absolutely not.
You see what I'm doing in this scene? This is what Bush is doing to my country.
Except I have an exit strategy.
Well, you know, some of the best political speeches we've ever had were by Larry Flint, who is Maya's boss, because she's a hustler, a contract girl.
Yes,
and
Larry
is the only guy to bring that audience to a standing ovation.
Mm. With something he can't accomplish. Everybody like you eat me. I dissed Flint, the flesh peddler. Sue me.
So we really like if somebody's getting particularly long winded up there. Let's say someone's high on coke.
I have to tell you, the more long winded, the better. It works the opposite of the Oscars, because the longer everybody stays up there, the better chance you have for just ridiculous things to come out of their mouth, which makes for great live appearances.
Which is the opposite of what they do in the movies when they put just ridiculous.
One of the ironic things about the talent in the industry and the girls is these girls will get on, you know, they'll have gangbangs and they'll have sex with six guys on camera and they'll walk around naked, but put them on stage and have them make a speech and they get nervous and they sweat and they get scared, which I find amazing that they could actually...
And erotic.
Be afraid when they'll have sex in front of multiple people.
Let's talk about the business for just one second. How is the internet impacting, like, DVD sales and that kind of thing?
It is.
It is.
Well, the appetite for sexual material is there. I mean, the total amount of money being spent goes up. But now people have more choices. Instead of having to go out and rent or buy a DVD, you know, they can download a movie, watch it on video on demand. You can see it on cable TV. If you have DirecTV, you can rent a movie. You know,
you can
watch
see
it
hardcore porn.
Hardcore on DirecTV. And most of the cable networks, too, they show hardcore
now. Nice time to mention that to me.
Shouldn't there be, I feel like there should be a little designation on the pay-per-view, not the Spectravision pay-per-view at the hotel, but at home.
There is.
But you don't know the difference between nudity and hardcore.
Are you talking about on the DirecTV channels?
Yeah. So you're going to buy, like, Naughty Housewives whatever party, and you think, oh, this could be good. And then
Cinemax.
It turns out it's a bunch of chicks just dancing around with a
dustbuster. No, you know what?
They do
designate the channels now. Like when you go to Hustler TV or Spice on it's hardcore. I mean,
yeah,
you know it's hardcore.
That is, but
Spice
is
hardcore.
I'm talking about just your basic pay-per-view porn at home.
But you know what? I don't know about your cable system, but I have DirecTV. You can tell.
I have it.
There's five hardcore channels that you can choose from.
See, that doesn't work for me, really. Mm-hmm. I need currently, I'm not technologically inclined in the first place, but I need the DVD because I'm not really interested in watching porn. I'm interested in the completion of the task that porn is involved in. So I need to fast forward to the thing that gets me the most excited and be out of that room within 60 seconds if at all possible. And that you can't do with on demand. You have to watch a whole porno while the pool man comes over and they talk to the pool man.
That's a good part.
Yeah, well, you
sucks.
Well, what you do is you just buy it
right.
When you don't have a boner. And then 2 hours later, you can breeze through the whole thing via the TiVo. You got to use
the TiVo. That's implying there's a time of day I don't have a boner.
Well, you're scaring me now. Now let me ask you this, just hypothetically, just to get inside your head, because there's two different mind ways of thinking on this. Some guys, when they get a porn movie, will watch the whole porn movie, or at least pass through the whole porn movie, and then go back and find the best spot
those
of the porn
are
movie.
Sick.
Really?
You're sick.
You're talking to one of those people, mister.
Sick.
You're looking at him. Okay.
You're also wearing a lumberjack hat.
Look, I want to make sure there's not some chick I went to high school with who's waiting at the end of the porn movie that I missed.
I missed something.
Because let me tell you something, Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
What up, homie?
You don't know when your last masturbatorial experience is going to be.
Right.
There could be a super hot chick that you went to high school with that is waiting at the end of a porn movie that you rented, but you didn't watch the whole porn movie, so you never saw her. You went ahead and finished up in the first 10 minutes, then you walked out your front door and was hit by a train.
Right.
Okay, never to whack again.
They go all over Las Vegas Boulevard, those trains.
Never to masturbate again.
Right.
Meanwhile, you'll go to your grave never seeing the hot chick you went to high school with who was at the end of the porn movie.
That's assuming, A, that I'm hit by a train.
Yes.
Because I don't watch the scene that makes me the most excited and helps me to finish the process and then throw the DVD away. Mm-hmm. I watch from then on. It takes me weeks to watch an entire porno.
Wow.
Well, guys, can I ask Maya, the beautiful Maya Luana, who's sitting right here, I ask her what her favorite type of scene is to shoot? What's your favorite sex act to do on film?
Well, I just like to get down and dirty and nasty. I like it rough.
Rough?
You
like rough trade? Go punch her, Danny.
I mean, is that true? Like spanking and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Spitting?
No spitting.
Good. I've seen that. I don't like it.
I'm not into that.
No spitting.
But you know what?
Hair pulling, smacking, and a little bit of choking.
Little choking.
Wrapping up a little bit, tossing around.
Don't like it.
What about anal? Do you do that?
Not yet.
Well, the day is young, my dear.
What you should do is find a tiny white guy with a small one and practice. That's the way that's just, you know, little advice from your old Uncle Dan.
All right, maybe I'll try when I get home tonight.
Mm-hmm. Why, you got a little tiny white guy at home?
I'll go find one.
I thought you were selling yourself on that
too.
One. I didn't know. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Paul, you're doing the Lord's work. I really Thank feel you. Like I need to sit you down with some of Minka's, with her body of work, and really.
And I'll pick up the slack, and I'll sit you down, Maya.
Yes,
and we'll have a little talk
show.
You
sit Maya down. AVN Awards, Saturday, January 13th, Mandalay Bay Event Center. That is a week from this Saturday.
Is it televised, Paul, or no?
Yeah, it's on the Playboy Channel in March. But, you know, fans can go this year for the first time.
Oh, you never opened it up to the general public before.
For the general public, but now fans can come, and there's great seats for fans. Ticketmaster, it's cheap.
Oh, I want to be on that Southwest flight out of Burbank. Bunch of hardcore AVN fans. Oh, wearing fanny packs and cutoff sweats. Look out.
Good place for me to meet the future Mr. Strasser.
That's right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll shift gears because my kids both went to go to the doctor yesterday, and the son evidently needs to be fitted with a helmet.
Oh, no.
I disagree. I want to talk to you guys about it. I have many, many thoughts. It's not funny.
Brian, hold it together.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that story after this.
Playboy Mansion for another live broadcast on January 18th. Want to go? Listen to Adam next Monday morning to win tickets. And don't miss the 90-minute premiere of The Apprentice, Los Angeles, Sunday night at 9:30 on NBC. Listen Monday morning, answer a few questions about the episode, and you win tickets. The Apprentice, Los Angeles. New city, new twists. Winners live in a Hollywood Hills mansion. Losers sleep in tents in the backyard. Let's get back to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on The Adam Carolla Show.
Join the Uriah Heep free jam in the background.
No. Is that Uriah Heep?
No. I think it's probably Rush. Rush. Where were we? That's right. The kids.
I geeked out.
Kids went to the doctor's office.
Yeah, I'm interested in this.
Seven months of age to go see how they're doing. Now, they're twins, and my son, Sonny Santino, has a, I wouldn't say he has a, there he is now.
Him.
He's got a big head. He is really no neck and a lot of head.
So you're aware that my son from the ultrasound on was called Buckethead.
Ah.
Because his head was so big.
Well, we're calling.
And there was a lot of concern about natural delivery with a head that large.
We're calling him Anvil Head, but he is a massive cabeza, and it's a little misshapen. A little bit. Not really.
I saw them on the Christmas card you sent, and they couldn't look more adorable.
Photoshop.
Can't tell. That's right. You can't tell by looking at him, but of course, in this day and age of modern medicine where everyone must be uniform and there's no set of teeth that can't use a retainer or a set of braces.
Sure.
Everyone is going to get fitted for everything. And I'm worried because I don't want to go down this road. I grew up in North Hollywood, and everyone I grew up with in the flatlands of North Hollywood did not have braces or a retainer. Every kid that grew up in the hills of
South
Studio
of
City,
Boulevard.
Known as Hebrew Heights, had braces.
Sure they did.
Now, why did all those kids need braces and none of us needed braces? Well, they had money.
No.
Thus, they needed braces. I don't know the difference between the kid needing the helmet or me having good insurance. Thus, he's getting a helmet to correct his misshapen skull, which I can't tell is misshapen. And this kid is going to have such a mop of pubes on his head. Hey, you're not going to know who. You're not going to know. His head could be the trapezoidal shaped,
sure.
And the big Jufro is going to cover it all up. So I'm not that worried about it. The problem is we're living in a society where there's no twos and threes. Everything's a 10.
Right.
And I don't know who to listen to anymore. We're living in a society where, if Sandy Duncan walks through the airport metal detector and keeps walking, she'll be tackled to the ground like a terrorist and raped in the back room and searched. We have no medium speed anymore. There's no such thing as somebody who says, he could use a helmet, but on the other hand, I probably could have used one, too.
Right.
I landed on my feet.
Well, how long does he have to wear the helmet?
22 years.
What happens here is what they want is they strap on this helmet, and it's an actual ancient ritual revisited.
Mm.
What they used to do is that in reverse, they'd be born with normal-shaped skulls.
Mm-hmm.
and they would put on these helmets that would grow their heads into cones and grow them to pointy heads.
Really?
Yeah, that was what they would do. It's in all sorts of different ancient tribes. They would misshape the form of their head.
Well,
this is what it does. It makes a perfectly round skull, and your head grows and conforms to the shape of the helmet, which is a perfectly round, half a sphere, and makes that perfect skull.
Right.
Now, I am with you. I mean, I would know if you wear the lumberjack hat every day.
Right.
Your skull could be all sideways, as far as I know.
Yes,
sometimes
it's actually
a baseball
shape
hat.
Of a pentagram, actually. And then I got the fro underneath it, so you can't tell. First off, I said, how many hours out of the day does Sonny need to wear the helmet?
Right.
Only 23.
Oh,
by the way, if you're going to make it 23, go 24. Why bother? It's going to take me a half hour to get the goddamn thing on and off.
It's the same rules as solitary confinement. You get an hour in the yard.
In the yard. That's
yeah,
right.
But what does
time.
Lynette say about this?
Well, you know, the mom's job is to be concerned and to take every whisper from the doctor as gospel from the mountain. And I realize that they cover their asses. It's not their kid who's going to be wearing the helmet. All they're going to be doing is cashing the checks. And by the way, why not play it safe? You see, that's the problem. When I got surgery on my hand, and Danny, you've probably had multiple surgeries on both hands, and you could back me up on this. But when I got surgery on my hand, I was strapped down to a sandwich board that was put beneath me so that I couldn't move my arm involuntarily, you know, while I was put under. They locked me down. I was like Jesus on the cross, but they needed my underpants. And I said, why do you need my underpants? And you know what? I got to tell you, I'm not uptight, but I'm on my back. I'm naked and I'm sedated and I'm in a room with a bunch of strangers. I like having my underpants
on.
You
just described my MySpace date.
You're not doing a circumcision, Mr. Moyle. You're working on the part that's furthest away from my junk. Why do you need my underpants? And they said, they could catch on fire. You
what?
Could spontaneously combust because of the Dacron inside of the whatever. And I said, here's what I said. Where's a piece of paper that I can sign that says,
right.
I know this is never going to happen. I feel like we're living in a society now where if there's 0.1% that my underpants are going to catch on fire, then we need my underpants, and then we need me walking around sedated with a club now, a cast on my left hand, and my ass hanging out of the hospital gown because I can't tie it behind me, and I'm loaded. I'm just saying, I don't know the difference. If my underpants is going to catch on fire, I definitely want to know about it. But if it's not, please stop sounding like it is. And if my kid's going to grow up looking like the guy from The Hills Have Eyes, I want to know
right.
about it.
Absolutely.
But if not, I don't want to get the helmet for the kid's head. Jennifer's here. Or if he does wear the helmet, he's going to be wearing a hockey uniform for the amount
right.
of time.
Yeah,
so I want him to have
game.
A theme.
Yeah.
It's going to say Red Wings on the side. It's going to be made by Jofa. Jennifer?
Hi.
Your son had to wear a hockey helmet?
He wore an orthotic helmet for 4 months.
First off, every one of my stupid friends is going to think he has Down syndrome or is retarded or something because they've done the helmet math and no one wants to ask.
They're really cute. They're really, really cute. You get to pick out, like, the material, the color, the picture on the helmet. So it's
I find that that's just pathetic when you put the Hello Kitty sticker on the thing and you paint it pink or whatever it is.
Did your son have a misshapen head?
Well, what happened was that I had a very difficult birth, so his head had to collapse way down in order to, you know, be born.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very, very bad cone head when he was born.
Right.
Yeah. So because his head had to move back into place, there was so much movement in the plate of his head that, you know, they scare you to death about SIDS, place your kid on your back, place your kid on his back, that we placed him on his back, and his head became totally flat in the back.
Right.
But more, his eyes were uneven because part of his head had pushed one eye forward, and he had one eye heavier than the other.
They wore the helmet for 4 months?
He wore the helmet for 4 months.
And
let me give you some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it during the summer months.
That's actually really good advice.
Do it
during the winter months because it's so hot.
What if the kid gets used to wearing the helmet and thinks he's indestructible? You know what I mean? I come home, he's on a half pipe, he's made in the backyard, and the next, you know, the helmet comes off,
he's
brain damage.
That's going to happen anyway.
But
here's a tip that I think she gave you right there that you might have missed. his head was totally flat in the back, and his eyes weren't even.
Right.
Does Sonny look like a Picasso to you?
No.
Then shine it.
Yes. I agree, and here's the question. Now, in a world where every kid is allergic to peanuts magically, when none of us were allergic to peanuts
and
growing
they can
up,
kill you.
When everybody has some allergies, when everyone needs braces or orthodonture work, where everybody needs the helmet because their head is misshapen, everybody has some form of asymmetry. Right. Everyone is born... Look, this isn't Hitler's utopia over here. We're not all Aryans. Everybody who is not going to need in the next 20 years a nose job, some orthodonture work, a helmet, or whatever. Everybody has something. That's what makes us us. Otherwise, we're heading towards some sort of Twilight Zone thing where we all come out of the same cookie cutter. I say screw the helmet. I'm leaving the kid alone.
I want to agree with you, but if I was the kid's mom, I would probably think, what if the head is a little misshapen and then he holds it against
me? Well, then I'll tell you what. If you're listening, honey, Sonny can wear the helmet, but you must wear a helmet as well.
Nice.
That's right. That's right. Just like if you got cancer and your hair fell out.
You'd all shave your heads.
Right. No, I would say I would have Brian. I would have Teresa shave her head.
I would do it, Lynette.
You wear the helmet as long as Sonny wears the helmet, so you guys have solidarity. And then you make the decision. Make the decision based on you wearing the helmet 23 hours out of the day.
It's fair.
Good news is that we could finally get into some of that rough trade stuff in the bedroom and wanting to get in with the headboard.
Plus, if your wife is anything like my wife, when you've done the escalating scale of financial aid, when you've done, you know, a little better each year, have you noticed their haircuts get more expensive every year?
That's right.
What? Supercuts still works for me, and I'm making the money.
That's right.
And I go right to the Supercuts on Sunset and Vermont every time.
And let me
My wife, $300 thing is happening.
That's right. I agree. Listen, honey, remember Sam? He was fantastic.
Yes, he was.
Thank you. We need to take ourselves a break. There'll be no helmets in the Corolla house. Right. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll do a little Mr. Brightside. That's right. First of 07, you have problems? I will make them pale in comparison to my problems. I will put them into perspective for you. You think you got problems? 866-901-ADAM. Mr. Brightside after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where Adam is Mr. Brightside. He'll put a happy spin on your problems.
Well, Adam, I was in a fight with my girlfriend. She told me at the end of the fight that I had a small penis.
That is our N-word. It's a bit of a handicap, but like all great handicaps, you overcome by compensating in other areas. Women only want oral sex anyway. Guys with the small penises work harder in that department. Thus, they're better lovers.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right.
That's
I'm
so
on
true,
you, bro.
Man.
Just admit it. It's the only
so
thing
true.
You want. Yeah. I'll tell you, most women won't put out on the first date, but if you said, how about I just climb under this table right now and get busy, then just go do it.
That's very personal. I would have sex before I'd do that.
You would?
Yeah.
You're in. I mean, oh.
It's more personal
you'd
than
have sex.
Sex
before you'd let someone do that
yes.
to you.
Yeah, it's very personal.
Yes, it is.
But so you wouldn't let it happen before the intercourse.
Yeah, the intercourse seems somehow less personal. It's just someone's head down there in your business.
I do agree. It's an interesting hypothetical, which is if your partner cheated on you, which act would you like them to do? There is a part that feels very personal about the oral sex and sort of. The intercourse, while sort of biblically significant, maybe less personal. I agree with you, T.
Yeah.
Let's put a ban on it.
Blow my brains out. Blow my brains out if my wife cheated on me.
In any way.
Looked at a guy too long. I break down and cry.
Raul?
Got problems? Need cheering
up. Oh, wait a minute. We got an intro.
Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside.
Just put on a happy
day. There you go, Brian. Not your fault, buddy. Raul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Let me put a positive spin on everything but your horrible name. Raul is it sounds like you have marbles in your mouth and you're drunk and your teeth got knocked out.
And the only significance that I can latch onto it is eating Raul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of that, can't do that to tea. First, you got to hump her.
Right? You got to work up to it.
Eating Raul, good name for tea's fit. V, Raul.
Yeah.
What do you got? What's the problem?
Well, a while back I applied to be a correction officer, but mm-hmm. they rejected me because I have an anger management issue.
Really? I thought that's what yeah. they did. I thought that would be a plus. Look, you're basically calling in to say that your plight, your lot in life, is not being able to go into a prison and work. And here's the deal. Wherever you work, that's where you are. I mean, yeah. those guys are in jail. You're in jail, too. You work in a jail, but you're in jail almost as much as they're in jail, except for they all want to kill you. And you're walking around, and they're trying to blow snot rockets on you and stab you with a shiv. You didn't get that gig, and you're disappointed? That's a coup.
Well, but I mean, it's a good job. Like, say, I can advance and do something better.
You can advance, but I'll tell you why you can't advance. Because you're one of the good cops, and there's an evil warden. I've seen enough movies to know there's always an evil warden. As a matter of fact,
Robert Redford's going to come in and save that.
Yes, that's right.
Brubaker.
That's right. Ballbusters, what was coming out of my mouth. That's right. You're not going to get Brubaker, you understand? You're going to get Joe Don Baker. He's in a bad mood. You understand? And you're on his S list because you're not the guard who wears the reflective sunglasses and has his shirt unbuttoned down to his navel and does that thing with the nightstick where they put it under the guy's neck and goes, you know how the game is played. You'd be one of the good ones, and thus you would pay with your life. So you dodged a bullet there, Raul.
Or at least a shiv.
Or at least a shiv. Now, what is your next gig? What are you on to?
Well, right now I'm trucking, and I'm going to join the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a plan of joining the Navy.
All right.
I have a strict plan, like where you need an anger management issue thing or whatever.
Yeah, well, look, if you do go into the Navy, it's a pretty good deal because even though the pay is not great, you don't, you're not a Marine, you're not a grunt, you're not a ground pounder. And once you get out of the Navy, you get the cheap loans and you get the free medical and you get all that crap. Meanwhile, you never fired a shot in a battle in your life. You were just peeling potatoes the whole time. All right, Raul.
Yeah,
and work on that anger management,
well,
would you?
Can I ask Raul, who'd you hit?
What do you mean, who'd I hit?
Well, you have an anger management problem. Sounds like you might have gotten in a fight.
It's kind of more of that passive kind of anger. It's the kind of anger where you hold it inside and it keeps on building and building and building.
Till you hit somebody.
And then one day.
Who else has got some stories?
Some fist.
You can tell us. We don't know your last name.
Oh, no, I haven't hit nobody. It's just that it's that kind of anger that the guy knew I had
a hit. Anger. Hold on. You don't, ever heard.
You don't get not hired as a prison guard because
you're passive aggressive.
That's right. Nice tie, warden.
What, you gave the prisoner the cold shoulder?
Well, no.
You turned him down to the Sadie Hawkins?
You wouldn't communicate with him?
It's the way he said he was going to the hall.
This is damn exciting stuff.
All right, Rowell. Now I'm getting angry. Renee?
Yes.
Speaking of the joint, you have a son?
Yeah.
You have a son in jail?
Yeah, he met this little girl on MySpace. She lied about her age, and now he's got 18 counts of statutory sexual stuff.
What's the Jew? What did he look like?
18 counts, right. But when he met her and she was 7, he should have known something was up.
How old was she?
Actually, she was 15, but she looked like she was 19, like she said.
I got to tell you, I'm sorry for what happened to your son, but I'm putting you in the hopper for Mom of the Year because... If I went and boffed for some 15-year-old that I met on MySpace, my mom would be mad at me.
Right.
Not the teenage
well, she
teenager
lied about her
whose
age,
innocence
right?
I stole.
Oh, yeah. So doesn't that make her a predator, too?
No.
I mean, come on.
It makes her a 14-year-old.
Your son maybe didn't know what he was doing, right?
Not to begin with. And when he found out, he stopped. But then when she got busted going home, she cried rape.
Did she offer him any sweet tea?
I hope not.
Come in. Let yourself in. I have some Toll House cookies and sweet tea.
There you go.
And
you're naked.
You must be very proud. When does your son get out of the joint?
Actually, right now, they arrested him when he went to see his probation officer because he's supposed to register for some sex class.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to register for this class, there's never anybody there. They don't even have a receptionist, so you can document that you were there.
So, Renee, let me see. Actually doing the 14-year-old and then not registering at the sex offenders class,
none
of this is your
Danny.
Son's fault.
No, Danny, he registered. He did everything he was supposed to do. But there's never been anybody at this place to even
document that you were there.
Listen, I know you're proud as my mom is. I know you must speak with great pride about your son bragging.
How would I know that?
Bragging to your friends. He put on the ankle bracelet that
just
didn't
like
permit
it.
Just like he was supposed to. He dotted every I and crossed every T when he was registering as a sex offender. He is a model son and citizen.
Know?
Thanks,
why,
Mom.
Why was he on parole?
Why was he going to visit his parole officer? Was it a social visit?
His probation. He's on probation.
For what?
For the 18 counts. But they reduced it to one because he pled guilty, so he got 5 years probation. But when he went to see the probation officer, they arrested him because they said he didn't try to register for the class.
Oh, man. Don't catch a break.
Once again, he was violated.
That's right.
In a big way, the whole violating thing.
Well, okay. And Renee.
But you know what? They're violating the whole family on this.
Renee, I mean, you sound like a horrible mother.
No, Renee's upset.
I'm the worst.
I can hear it in your voice.
I know.
Where's your husband? Where did he go? How long has he been dead? What's going on?
I got rid of him as soon as I found out I was pregnant.
Abusive, perhaps?
Well, he came home and found a house key in the floor, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that means.
I wanted the child. I didn't want the guy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And your...
What'd you do with all the meth?
Yes, I'm smelling that, too.
What was that?
What happened? What are you doing? What's going on with meth? Where's your family? Where's your dad?
My dad passed on 11 years ago.
Natural causes?
I'm sorry?
Natural causes?
Yes, actually.
That's right. Listen, police taser is not a natural cause. Renee, something's wrong here. Do you have other children?
No, but I do have my 4-year-old grandson with me.
He is the son of the guys incarcerated?
Exactly, which brings a whole other problem. He has to get an okay from the judge to be in the same house where his son is.
Right, and by the way, his 4-year-old son looks 9.
Look out. Well, Renee, you
Danny,
have...
I used to love you. You better watch it.
Strike 3. You have your work cut out for you, but look, let's try to put things into perspective.
Please.
At least you know where your son is. You know, my mom calls me, the phone just rings.
Yeah.
Thank God for that caller ID. But the phone just rings. She has no idea. I could be dead. I could be smoking crack. I could be out of the country. She has no idea. You know exactly where your son is. You know what time he gets to come back from the yard and all that kind of stuff. He can't do any damage to himself. He can't do any drugs. He can't really do anything.
He could get stabbed with a shiv.
Next 18 months.
Thank you very much. What if somebody finds out what he's in there for when he technically didn't do anything to a child?
Well,
he could get hurt. Badly.
All right. But you have a chance to almost fix what you broke in the past, which is obviously you did a horrible job with your son. Thus, he's in the joint for the statutory rape.
I think what Adam is saying is that you did a poor job rearing him, and now somebody else is doing a fine job at it.
Thank you.
I think Renee did her best.
You have a chance because there's another young lad that now lives under your roof. This time, you're a little older, you're a little bit wiser, and you won't make the same mistakes twice with the 4-year-old, namely your grandchild. So...
Actually,
while your son
I am much better at it this time around.
Figure you've learned from just a handful of mistakes you made in the past, Renee. I can hear it in the voice. There's a tone to people's voice when they've made mistakes
right, sure.
in the past.
I haven't done the phone.
Yes, somewhere between a sort of a scratchy baritone and just a actual I've made mistakes sort of cadence in their lives. It's almost apologetic meets defensive. Renee had that in spades. So you get an opportunity not to screw up your next young son. There you go. That's the happiest spin I can put on that.
Bright side of that? That's
the brightest I can come up with that. T.
Yes.
Unless there's an outro. Uh-oh. We haven't done it since last year.
Feel better? We knew you would.
Put on a happy day.
There you go. T.
Yes.
The news, baby. What's coming up in it?
Well, Ryan Seacrest has a secret about his past. I'll tell you what that is. And Kid Rock, it's not what you think. And Kid Rock and Tommy Lee have a beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching the entertainment shows where Kid Rock, and I'll get into it, was, you know, Tommy Lee and Kid Rock are going after, and Pam Anderson, whatever. My wife turned to me, my wife who likes Kid Rock and Tommy Lee and everyone, she turned to me and she went, how old are they? And I said...
Emotionally?
I Pam, Kid Rock, everyone is now about 40, if not over 40.
Tommy Lee is my age, maybe a little older.
Right. Average age of the three... folks that participated in that are 43 and a half.
Sure, they say your emotional growth is stunted when you start drinking heavily.
Right, that is what they say. My wife uses that against me all the friggin' time.
We will take a break. We'll be back with the news after this.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, T.
Yes.
Ready to tee up the news, baby doll?
Sure. They met at the Kids' Choice Awards back in 2003, and now it looks like it's over for Cameron Diaz, 34, and Justin Timberlake, 25. Reports are they have split.
Breaks my heart. Hope those kids land on their feet.
Well, he did bring Sexy back, and I know you appreciate that more than anyone.
Yeah, it's a great song.
What's she got, like two movies left in her?
Cameron?
Yeah.
Cameron has an amazing, amazing body. You should appreciate that as a trainer.
I do. She also has, it looks like her face caught fire and somebody put it out with an ice pick. She has the same flesh as Edward James almost.
No.
You could play golf on that face.
That's not right.
That's not right.
Too much time in the sun, Cameron.
Look, if you were single and you were at a club and she came up and wanted to take you home, you would be thrilled.
Dude, if I was married and my wife was standing next to me and Cameron Diaz came up and said we should do it, I'd go, honey, you gotta give me a call on this one.
You wouldn't mention that golf thing.
No. But that's just to say I did it with her. It doesn't mean I think she's hot.
Now, do you find Pamela Anderson hot?
No, she repels me.
She's a female impersonator.
Yeah.
The guys who find her attractive are stupid. Now, please, I know we get into this a lot. Everyone wants to say, well, that's just my personal preference. No, if you like Fergalicious, if you think that's a great song, you're stupid. If you think Pam Anderson is hot, you're stupid. If you love NASCAR, you're stupid. It has to do with being stupid. It's not a personal preference.
Now, but there have been the morphs of Pamela Anderson. Was she ever attractive to you?
She was hot
before the surgery.
Leaving Canada in, circa 1989.
Yeah.
But when she turned into a female impersonator.
The drag queen, absolutely.
When she turned into a drag queen, she stopped being hot. Thus, those who think she's hot are stupid.
Well, here's a couple people who think she's hot, and you tell me whether or not they're stupid. Kid Rock and Tommy Lee.
Stupid.
They're both nice guys. Dumb is stump. Yeah. Both of them.
They both married her. Now, here's what happened. They were also both staying at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas for New Year's. About 6 a.m. on Monday, Kid Rock got the idea that he might like to pummel Pam's ex-husband, Tommy Lee. So he and, two of his huge bodyguards marched over to Tommy's room. They kicked in the door, reportedly, only to discover that they had the wrong room. So there was a startled family. Kid Rock signed an autograph, said he was sorry, and then...
Oh, Danny explained to me that you, by law, by pummeling rules, you must pummel whoever that is.
You've kicked in the door, somebody has to get in.
If a rabbi answers the door, sorry, rabbi, rules are rules. Boys, get busy.
Listen, Rabbi Weinstein, I have to pummel you. It's not me, it's the rule.
That's right.
And he then went off to the Paradise Strip Club to make it all better.
Well, that does make it better.
There's a life right there, huh? That's a guy going places.
Paradise. The thing that always cracks me up about the Paradise Strip Club. And first, let me say that the combined age of Kid Rock, Tommy Lee, and Pam Anderson is over 156.
Yeah,
grown-ass people.
We can stop already. We're not producing a bunch of, crazy hormones, and we're not in our teens anymore. The thing I always think is funny is the strip club, Paradise Strip Club, is directly across the street from the Hard Rock Hotel, but it's across one of those Vegas streets that has 8 lanes on each side and no crosswalk anywhere. I could imagine how many drunken guys have tried to make that negotiation full-blown boner, head full of Courvoisier, trying to make it back to the casino and just weaving in and out of traffic. And I always thought they should put a sign there. You know when you're driving in the mountain road and they have the deer up there? How about the one with a guy wearing a Shriner hat with little zigzags coming from it?
Nice.
Staggering. Put it right by there so people aren't killed on the way back to the Hard Rock.
It's Frogger for drugs.
Yes. Let me say this.
I went to that club
Paradise.
And I got to tell you, yes. And did that thing where I'm only going to stay for a couple of pops of Jaeger. I opened the door and the sunlight hit me. That's when you know.
It's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Now, yeah, it's uncomfortable. You guys have both said that that you don't find Pamela Lee hot. And I think we agree that Tommy Lee and Kid Rock maybe aren't the smartest. But think of the babes of yesteryear. Marilyn Monroe was with Arthur Miller. He was a brilliant playwright. Maybe Pamela could find herself a smart guy.
Have you
ever read Marilyn's biography? She hated Arthur Miller and thought he was retarded, makes fun of him through the whole book.
But he was a smart guy.
Smart enough to know that she was just trying to change her image.
Look, if she got with Steve Miller, would be a nice nice step forward for her.
What about
intellectually?
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller
Light would be a,
would be a nice step
Larry
in the right
Miller.
Direction. That's right.
Okay, Britney Spears.
The Cowboys from Miller's Outpost.
That's important to me.
Britney Spears has some very, very hardcore fans. In fact, there's a site, was a site, called worldofbritney.com. Mm-hmm. And it had chronicled all things Britney since 2000. It's shutting down because its creator, a guy named Ruben Garay, just doesn't care for Britney Spears anymore. Here he is on Showbiz Tonight.
I think it has more to do with the credibility that Britney has lost. Not just now, right now, like in the past few months, but over the years with fans and industry people, it's more about, you know, not being able to believe in her as much as I used to do it.
Well, you can't spell Garay without first spelling gay. Yes.
But what's the big... I mean, I know she was photographed without her underwear. Is that really a crime? It's a victimless crime.
She is another dumb as a stump blonde that I've had an ass full of that, as far as I'm concerned, possesses no talent. And please, let's stop talking about her. I don't find her attractive, and I certainly don't find her talented. Let's...
You know,
another person that stupid guys are attracted to. I don't know any smart guys that like her.
There are people, and I don't want to say that I would do this or anything, but it should be, there should be a line, and I would be willing to give this power to you, actually. I'd be willing
Thank
to give you.
You
the arbiter of this.
Thank you.
But there should be people that it's just okay to shoot in the head.
Mm.
There really should. And it should just come down to Corolla to go, you know what? The world would be better off. Let's see, Kid Ron Pamela's doing. I'm going to go with Kid Rock on this one. It's okay to just shoot him in the head. Mm. It'd be a nice line to be able to just weed out the herd a little bit.
Well, I agree, but it'd be a horrible, horrible day for Jack Silver.
I continue to be fascinated with all these people, despite myself, and I don't know why. Let's talk about Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, finally.
Yes.
We're getting some traction.
A lot of beautiful women and models and actresses will tell you that they were awkward during their teenage years and they had a hard time and they weren't always beautiful. Ryan Seacrest apparently had some trouble. Here's what he had to say on Extra.
I was a lineman on the high school football team. I was definitely twice me now then. I was bullied and I used to lock myself in my room and scrape the skin on my cheeks because I wanted to be thinner.
Dude, are you gay?
Wouldn't it have been awesome if he just never came out of his room?
I think it'd be interesting if he'd come out of his closet.
He's not gay.
He's a really nice guy.
It's
an easy punchline.
I was at a party many years ago where he was there before he was Ryan Seacrest. I think he was just doing a little local DJing work out here in L.A. And he was hitting on a chick back before he knew or people cared. So at least he was straight 12 years ago when I saw him at this party. But yes, bigger picture, a lot of people had a rough go of it in high school, or at least they think they do, because the amount of people that think they were bullied versus people that were actually bullied, everyone feels awkward. And whenever you interview any of these blowhard celebrities, oh, I was on the outside looking in. No one asked me to my prom. I felt like, listen, every 16-year-old feels awkward in high school. We all feel like we don't fit or we're part of the social club. Fine, get over it. Stop making us all pay by having 15 TV shows and never eating. Yeah. Please, stop it.
As we learned earlier during Mr. Brightside, when that mom called because her kid ended up in jail because some girl on MySpace said she was young, people lie a lot online. And a new survey from Engage.com says that 1/4 of the people who date online say that it's okay to lie on their online dating profile. The most common lie is about income, followed by weight, followed by age, followed by how much people want a relationship, and then height.
Well, you know what it becomes like? It becomes like steroids in professional sports, which is maybe I'm not going to lie on my MySpace. But if I'm not going to lie, and the guy to my right and the guy to my left is upped his income 50 grand, now I'm making 50 grand less than these guys because he's lying. If everyone in the NFL's on the juice, I'm not going to be the one lineman who's going natural and getting my ass kicked.
Getting mauled.
I need to get on the juice now because they're on the juice. It's the same thing with publicists. Everyone has to have a horrible publicist now because other people have horrible publicists, and your publicist must do battle with their publicist. It's a vicious cycle. You must lie online now because other people are lying.
Right, and I would think that you would factor it in. You would assume that the person put the best possible photograph of themselves online. You would assume that maybe they weigh 5 pounds more, maybe they're an inch shorter. Mm-hmm. You would factor that in when you met them and thus be prepared.
Right.
Well, you've been to MySpace. My personal MySpace.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what pictures are on there, but would you say they are a fair representation of me and my family?
Yes, that's exactly how you look.
I guess so. That's being a married guy and not using it for dating, because if I was single, I'd be 6'2".
But ironically, a guy who is on the juice but doesn't lie on his MySpace page, which is interesting.
Well, there's a whole section dedicated to juice.
Actually, as the last bit of news, and this may be news, are you still on the juice?
Oh, no.
You're off the juice.
No, all sorts of everything. I'm down to 160 pounds. When I was juicing, I got up to 204.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. 3% body fat at 200 pounds.
I'll tell you what. We need to take ourselves a break. We were going to talk a little Grand Theft Auto, and maybe we still will because I've had a couple of cars stolen, and Danny just got his back from the impound lot. Impound lot. Nice name for cheese vagina.
It costs a lot of money to get out.
Where were you this weekend? Down at the impound lot.
Wow.
High five.
They wanted $1,200 to get out. I didn't have it.
Steep, but worth it. Danny is a certified personal trainer, and we were talking earlier in the week about everyone trying to shed a couple of the holiday pounds they put on, including myself. Well, we might want to talk to a guy who's a certified personal trainer named Danny Bonaducci, who just coincidentally happens to be here, about the best way to do that. But I also want to talk about the juice because I feel like people don't exactly know what it does. They hear a lot of doctors who haven't done it explain how dangerous it is, and a lot of athletes say how much it helped them, but then other people say it's just for healing or just for this and that. I want to know, if you take your average guy who's going to the gym 3-4 days a week and working out for an hour and then hit him with a nice cycle of the juice, what it will physiologically do and what he can expect. We'll hear that firsthand.
Cool.
After this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Oak Park, Michigan. A man was rescued after falling asleep inside the compactor of a garbage truck in which he was scavenging for bottles. Definitely not a Jew.
Yep. Frontrunner for 07. Definitely not a Jew. Hey, let me just mention that the Playboy Mansion is where we're going to be at in a couple of weeks, doing ourselves a little live broadcast. I think Trump's going to be over there, and he's going to be talking about The Apprentice.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
Thanks for the heads up, Don.
That's going to be a rough interview for me.
This Playboy Mansion does not suck.
It's going to be great. I'm going to put a long list of things that don't suck, and he's going to explain why they don't suck. That grotto does not suck. Those peacocks do not suck. James Caan's corpse floating in the pool does suck. But the monkey cage does not suck. Anyway,
Angie, you're fired.
Sunday night, 9:30 on NBC. I am pumped.
I can't wait.
The Apprentice has come to Los Angeles. I know. They're paying me to say that. Oh, no. I watch The Apprentice each and every season. I've never missed an episode, and I'm excited to see Trump and The Apprentice coming up this Sunday, 9:30 NBC. And then we'll be giving away some tickets to the Playboy Mansion come Monday morning. That is, provided you've watched Sunday night.
Right.
We'll have some questions about that. Now, speaking of questions, we just sort of drifted into steroid rage, and all that good stuff. Danny Bonaducci is a certified personal trainer. I'm looking at his laminated card.
Gave it to him. I thought you might want this to know. I'm just not saying this.
God knows how much coke was cut up with this card.
I'm afraid that's past those years.
Oh, really?
You got high just touching it.
But he is certified and has been on the juice. So explain firsthand what it physiologically does to not only your body, but your mind.
Well, first of all, you've got to understand what the juice is, because the juice, everybody thinks is testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the juice, but there's 900 kinds of the juice. I have a book at home 3 inches thick called The Encyclopedia of Anabolic Steroids. Mm-hmm. There's billions of them, mm-hmm. and they all do different things. So if you go and you take straight, you do a cc and a half every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, a straight test, and you do an hour workout hard that you used to do, mm-hmm. you're going to make enormous gains really fast.
Now, they always say, well, it helps in your recovery. It helps, you know,
muscle recovery,
injury recovery, that kind of stuff.
Well, it helps in all tissue growth and therefore repair. So it depend on what you've got injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to help you with a broken leg, as far as I would know.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of guys, myself included, you go to the gym, you feel a little better, but you don't necessarily see the difference in the mirror.
See, that's the thing with the juice is you will within 4 weeks be. You'll look in the mirror and go, oh, my God.
Well, Danny, can you do a little?
You'll hit the gym so much harder.
Because you see more of an effect. But could you do just a little and then look better? Or do you have to do a lot?
No, you only do a little. You only do a little. It's just what it is. First of all, it's oil. It's as thick as cooking oil. So the size of the needle that you ram into your body is a wound. You have to stop the bleeding once you pull the needle out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a big deal.
Is there a way to do it orally, or does it have to be administered via needle?
There are lots of oral steroids. Believe it or not, almost all oral anything is 10 times more toxic on your liver than an injectable.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the rig.
Now, remember, I've said the test will make you big, but it will not make you defined. You'll retain a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
You put your jacket on, you'll just look fat.
Right.
So you want to mix that, at least when you're me, with Winstrol, which is an anabolic steroid on the weaker scale, water-based, not oil-based. So don't mix them. Learned that the very hard way.
Uh-huh.
And that is a fat burner. Now, just to give you an idea, when I was getting ready for Breaking Bonaducci, I was at the gym day and night and getting ready, because I knew it's a reality show at my house. I'm going to come out of the shower, I'm going to be in my underwear, whatever.
Sure.
So I'm living at the gym, and a guy I recognize from Muscle magazine.
Hold on, Kimmel did the same thing first season of The Man Show.
Yeah, I understand. A guy I recognize from the Muscle magazines comes up and says, "Say, what are you doing?" I tell him I'm getting ready for the show. He goes, "It's not going to happen for you. You're too old and you don't have the genetics." Just like that.
Wow.
Like, sounds
like my dad.
Right?
Tough
goes,
love.
You want some help? And I thought, like, training me. I said, sure. And he opens up this medical kit, shows me it, and then says, come with me. So I go into the bathroom, the filthy bathroom of a filthy gym. I won't say which one. And all I care about is watching him peel a clean needle. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I'm aware of. I want to see him take a needle out of a wrapper so I know it's new. He does. He puts his oil in it. He jams it in my butt cheek. And while I'm sitting there in the stall with a stranger with a needle in my ass, I decide I should probably look and see what he's injecting me with.
Mm-hmm.
So I grab it, and it's a vial full of oil with a picture of a bull on it. Right. And it says Veterinario.
Wow.
So that's what you're shooting. Almost everybody on the streets is shooting I'm shooting Mexican show bull.
Mm-hmm.
Steroids, testosterone. Wow. I'm also using fat burners meant for Mexican racehorses.
Mm.
So you're shredding. I used to wake up in the middle of the night covered with sweat, feeling my body eating itself.
Wow.
Literally
I
eating
wish
the
I
fat.
I could do that. Ryan Jeremy can do that. I heard.
I'm telling you, at $300 a vial, you can do that.
Do you do one of these vials every day?
Oh, no, God, no. Vial lasts you 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And were you able to inject yourself?
See, the problem is, no problem. Well, there's a personal problem for me. I've broken my hands so many times. It's the only injuries that I have that won't heal up out of all the, like, steel I have. My hands won't grip real well, and it's so thick that I can't push it out of the needle. So what I, this is rather graphic. What
tell
I
me
to
you
do,
get your six-year-old to do that, Dan.
No, Gretchen.
No, because I don't have a six-year-old. I know Gretchen would never do it. What I have to do is whatever part of my body I jam the needle into,
lean.
I then have to lean up against the wall and push it against the wall and hope the needle doesn't snap off it.
Good time.
Wow. So now how much would this cost, and when did you start seeing results? And then what did it do to your mind?
Okay, now here's the thing with your mind, because I had to quit drinking because I was going to kill somebody or somebody was going to get killed. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. I had to stop drinking. Now, all the illegal drugs, forgetting not counting the steroids, but like the cutting up the cocaine with my card. I haven't seen cocaine since 1989. Mm. I haven't done any illegal street drugs in decades. It's just I became a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally told my wife I was doing steroids and we had done Breaking Bad at HU1, and she said, well, you were a maniac on that show with the steroids. And I said, no, it's the show. The show, doing the show, made me be crazy because I wanted to do something nobody ever seen before. Will you please let me do one more cycle of steroids and monitor my behavior? And if I step one step out of line, I'll never do them again.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually said, okay. And when the cycle was over, I said, well, she goes, I didn't notice one bit of difference in you, except you look a lot healthier.
Really?
Yeah, I have a very difficult time here, because if you could get them from a legitimate doctor, I would recommend
it. So are a few cycles going to hurt you in the long term?
If you ask almost any doctor, because I was with Gretchen at her doctor's when I said, how do you feel, what do you know about steroids? And it turned out he was an Olympic athlete 10, 12, 15 years ago, whatever. And he said, I know everything about steroids. I go, what do you think about it? He said, oh, I think everybody should do at least two cycles in their lifetime. And this is my wife's doctor, right to her.
Same way with me, except for mushrooms.
And when I showed him, because one had the picture of the bull, one had the picture of the horse, and the other vial had a picture of a terrier on it.
That's what I love about Mexico. But let's not get mired in all the letters and spelling. We'll just show the picture of the animal we're either going to eat or stab. And that's how we'll all know.
And the doctor looked at it and he said, oh, you're getting the good stuff. And I said, what about the fact that it's meant for a dog?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, the biology's the same there. Don't worry.
Yeah, I've seen studies and heard things, and we're all so eager to jump on this. It's sort of the secondhand smoke in the health department, which is everyone immediately just says, oh, steroids will kill you. But they don't have any real long-term studies of steroids. And as a matter of fact, getting old kills you.
Right.
Your body essentially wears
life
out.
Life kills you.
Yes, you die. Your body slowly dies like
if you
a
look up most
piece
of the,
fruit that's the, rotting. Yes.
The new research on most steroids, the most popular steroids, is actually quite positive if administered. Because now everybody's doing the HGH, the human growth hormone, these life extension clinics in Beverly Hills and stuff like that. They'll give you steroids at a very expensive rate, but a real life doctor will do it and tell you this will extend your life and benefit your life.
What was the cost, the street cost of doing these, keeping a cycle going?
A cycle was about $1,500.
And that lasted you
3 weeks.
No. A cycle. Maybe a month and a half. Maybe 6 weeks.
All right.
But I didn't do it like that.
Hold on. T, you spend more than that on therapy.
I was just doing that calculation in my mind. Well, do women look all creepy when they do them, or they just
look cut? If you do, because, see, the thing is, like, when I train women, all women say, well, I don't want to get big. Well, don't worry about it, because it's never going to happen.
Right.
It's literally, you see Madonna? She's my age.
I'd like to look like her.
Lift weights and do a ton of aerobics. She is shredded. You don't have the testosterone to get big.
I'm a lay person, but even I know when I watch those stupid commercials where they're talking about whatever piece of workout apparatus doesn't work, they always have the chick saying, I don't want to lift weights and get all big and bulky. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you think? You're going to get 21-inch guns?
Yeah.
You're 118 pounds. You're not going to get big and bulky from lifting weights.
No, a woman will always get like a shredded swimmer's body from weights, doing high reps of low weights.
We need to take a break. I want to keep this party bus rolling. As a matter of fact, because we have someone on the phone that says dad took roids and used to beat the crap out of them. Perhaps we can have Danny beat the crap out of him. Then there's Tom. He gave Danny his personal trainer test.
Oh.
Nice.
And then there's Andy, who wants a little roid advice from the D-Man over here. So I feel like I want to keep this going because I have other questions.
I do, too. I want to know which celebrities are on the roids just to look good because you could probably tell by looking at them. Maybe you can tell us when we come back.
Athletes, celebrities, Mark McGuire. We'll talk about it all after this.
Now back to Adam, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, talking a little personal fitness the old-fashioned way with the roids. As it turns out, everyone thought it was a first-rate killer, and maybe it isn't. I've seen experts on 60 Minutes talk about it, guys in their 70s. Although, let me tell you something, guys, and Danny, you're not there yet, but when you get to the ripe old age of 65 or 70, don't be one of these guys that's abnormally muscular into his 70s. It's creepy looking. The guy,
Jack LaLanne.
Well,
no, Jack's just when he's in regular clothes instead of that Lycra jumpsuit, he actually looks quite normal. He's not a ridiculous muscle man.
Although he doesn't need to wear the I Love Lucy dance shoes along with the Lycra jumpsuit. Here's the deal. If your jumpsuit has a belt built into it, don't wear it. Right. Mechanics jumpsuit, no problem. The one that goes from your armpit straight down to your ankle, fine. The one that jumps in because it's pleated and has a belt built in, bad. And if your name's on it, in the initial form, even worse.
Unless you happen to be an Olympic gymnast, then I'll give it to you for
I'll
that.
I'll let you wear
for
the
practice
jumpsuit.
And practice only.
So, yeah, I've went to Jack LaLanne's house and visited him for quite some time for a man show bit. He swims for like 2 hours a day. I'm talking about the guy who's wearing the Gold's Gym tank top, who looks like he has the bottled tan on with the comb over and the weird gold frame glasses, who's 66 and does nothing. Does nothing but curls all day and still has, like, huge guns, but he still has kind of a gut, and he's too tan, and he's weird,
leathery.
And he's shaven, and he's leathery. Yeah, don't be that guy. Bonaducci here has done roids. Now, you jumped up to 204 pounds when you got on the juice. And
3% body fat.
And no fat on you.
It's 3% body fat. If you try and maintain that for, say, a year or longer, your organs will start to shut down.
Right, you're
starving.
That's
not enough body fat.
Right.
Around 6% for women. You'll stop having your period.
And when we talk about other celebrities or your Mark McGuire's or whoever.
DiCaprio, I was asking about.
But the thing is he hasn't gotten big. He sort of got defined. He looked sort of soft before. Now he, what he does looks to me within reason. When a guy like McGuire or something like that goes from a little bit spindly to just huge thighs and huge guns. As an adult, it's not like, well, manhood kicked in. No, he was 28 playing for Oakland and was sort of Ichabod Crane over on first base, and then he turned into Paul Bunyan at some point. Is that juice?
Now, of course that's juice. Of course that's juice. Now, he went on to say that all he used was creatine, which, by the way, aside from protein, it's the second best thing for building muscles.
Really?
It's creatine, absolutely.
And it's legal.
What it does, he can get it at the grocery store. What it does really is it retains water. Except where you want it. It retains the where your muscles are the biggest are called the belly of your muscle. And what it does, it retains water in the belly of your muscle. So where it really doesn't add a great deal of strength, it adds a great deal of size to your muscles.
Is Carrot Top juicing?
You know what? I don't know. He's young. He's big enough, fast enough, and he's got a very busy career. It seems to me that he'd be the amount of time it would take at his age to look like that. He doesn't seem to have some. If I had to guess, I'd guess yes.
That carrot's been in the juice.
Joe Piscopo.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, anyone, I guess.
He got so big that cost him his career.
Would you say this is safe? Not being funny helped, but thank you. Brian hates Piscopo for some reason. Anybody who undergoes a drastic change. Now, I'm not talking about shedding 10 pounds of weight you put on from having a baby or eating too much around the holidays or getting into shape. I'm talking about undergoes a drastic physiological change, probably juicing.
Here's the way. That I put it, and I've put it to my wife in a couple of different ways. For when I really quit drinking, and I knew it was the last time, and I meant business, and I was several months into my sobriety, what I did was I told her all my tricks. Here's how I drink when I tell you I'm not drinking. I told her every single one of my tricks. And then the final one was, if you ever look at me and say, honey, have you been drinking? The answer is yes, no matter what I say, or you wouldn't have asked.
Yes, if you're asking.
Yeah. You know, you've been marrying me for 17 years.
Okay.
If you ask the question, have you been drinking, no matter what I say, the answer is yes.
So
I am telling you that if you think a guy might be on steroids, then he might.
Nick
but
Lachey?
If you look at him and go, that guy's on roids, you're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you go to, and I won't mention any gyms by names because I'm a member of almost all of them, but if you go and there's guys, the body only gets so big naturally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when you surpass that, when you're 350 pounds at 5'8",
yeah,
with 3% body fat, you're juiced out of your mind.
When you see the guys with the veins in their thighs, you have the quads walking around that looks like a rubber stretched over striated muscle, and veins popping out of the thighs.
These veins freaked me out at first. The ones that come up out of my pants, they come up from here. Those freaked me out when those first started
coming
in.
Let's see the main one.
I'm afraid that's not nearly as impressive.
What about your actor that's just really cut like your Ed Norton in that one movie or your Nick Lachey?
You want to shred up a young guy. You can absolutely do that in 6 weeks. If he's not really out of shape, take a regular in-shape guy and you want him shredded, give him 6 weeks, but you take him to somewhere where he doesn't get to go home at night and go into his own fridge. You lock him up with his trainer who gets these specific meals and hits the weights every day. In 6 weeks, I'll change any average guy into... You know who went through that change was Brad Pitt for
Troy.
Troy. Not he did that in 3 months, and
he
I don't think
big.
He wasn't that big.
But see, that's the thing. It's the camera. If you take a guy who's 150 pounds, but he's shredded and his shirt is off on camera, he's going to look amazing.
Right.
So he doesn't have to get big. He has to get lean, and then the camera will add the size.
Just so you're aware of this, that I am the exact same dimensions as Sylvester Stallone in Rocky One.
Really?
5 foot, well, I think he says 5'7". I'm 5'6½". I'm currently 160, but at the time I was 157, which is he played the heavyweight champion of the world. 5'7", 157 pounds, and he played the heavyweight champion of the world.
I'll tell you, get a picture. I just noticed this recently. I was very proud of myself. Get a picture of Rocky from Rocky One, and get a picture of Naomi Judd.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they look very, very...
I know what you mean. They're long in the face.
Take this look. Everyone hop on the computer. Find a Stallone Rocky 1 and Naomi Judd. Judd 5. Tom?
Yep?
You gave Danny his personal training test?
Yeah, I gave him the practical part of his test at the Venice Golds there.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely.
Was he smoking during it? Or?
actually, his dad Danny was super, super cool. Yeah. Not that I expected otherwise, but he was phenomenal in how he was.
Well, thank you, Tom. But the fact of the matter is I took this very seriously because it was way harder than I had anticipated. I didn't, because you think of these personal trainer guys and you don't think, well, they're the smartest guy. They're the sharpest knife in the drawer. How hard can this be? And it was really hard. It was 6 months of serious study. And this is not one of the more difficult ones. And I'm a relatively bright guy. There are some you need to really study for 2 years. Like the trainers at Bally's and 24 Hour Fitness, those guys are really well trained. But I took this very seriously. And Tom gave me my practical, and I answered very sincerely.
Andy wants some roid advice from Danny quickly in under a minute. Andy?
Danny.
Yeah.
Big fan. I'm a small guy like you. I'm about 5'7", 150 pounds,
yep.
And have problem putting size on.
Yep.
Work out a few times a week, every week, and I want to get to about 190, 195, but I don't want to be crazy juiced out of my mind. What do I do?
You know what? I do not believe, and I really, because I take my sobriety so seriously, I take being a law-abiding citizen and a good husband and a good father, this is who I aspire to be. I feel a certain bit of guilt and remorse, but I don't find anything wrong with steroids at all. You can kill yourself and eat day and night, or you can go do a cycle and you can get those particular gains you wanted in about 4 months.
Where does one score?
Yeah.
Do you go to the gym?
You would hang out. This would be my theory because I happen to know right where you go.
Okay.
I could bring you a cycle tomorrow.
Thank you.
I would not necessarily say Golds. I would say any muscle head gym.
Mm-hmm.
Venice.
And befriend one of the guys that is so ridiculously on steroids. and you just become his friend often enough, and then just ask.
So don't go
when
to
you
the...
know him well enough to ask. Just ask.
How would I put it?
You go, dude, how'd you... you know what I used to do? I just walk up to guys and go, God, you're a pharmacy. And they laugh and not deny it, and then that was it.
See, there you go.
So the Burbank Y is out of the question.
Actually, do you know that's why one of the reasons I'm a member of the YMCA?
Why?
Because I quit everything that was part of my old life. Like, because I was a member of the fancy gyms, and I'd still work out and hit hard, but there'd be girls there, and there'd be other stuff there, other distractions.
Let me tell you what you find at the Burbank Y. Nude old dudes shooting pool. There's actually a pool table in the men's locker room, and I've seen naked guys dragging their prodigious sack around the indoor-outdoor carpet and shooting snooker in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week. I hope to one day get to that point in my life where I can shoot pool naked with strangers on a Tuesday at noon.
It was funny. I just called my wife, and she said that she's answering my space comments about this show right now. And I said, how are they? And she said, oh, they're mostly really nice. And I said, what do you mean, mostly? And she said, well, some are critiques, but even the critiques are nice. And I said, like what? She goes, this guy said, hey, Danny, I really like you, but make sure not to be the topper guy. You're always topping things, which is like a total problem for me.
Right.
And now I'm going to do it with you in the Y. Washing my hands at the
Y. Do it in 30 seconds.
I'm washing my hands at the Y, and I hear, boy, I'm embarrassed for you to see me naked. And I turn around, and it's my pastor. Naked as the day was born.
I'm officially top. And ironically, because normally I am a top, not a bottom.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So I have some flexibility depending.
Don't you know, I pay attention to your MySpace comments, and that was a very good critique, and I will watch that.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up after this. Well, first a quick correction. Not Naomi Judd, Winona. Judd.
Daughter of Naomi.
Maybe we'll do it on the AdamCarolla.com, but we'll get a good picture of Stallone circa 1978, and we'll get a picture of her, and you'll see same person. Where were we? That's right. Tomorrow, a real show planned, everybody. Donald Trump, the Soup's Joel McHale, and the winner from Survivor. So a real show tomorrow, everybody.
The Soup guy is coming in here?
The Soup guy is coming in here. Oop. Oh, yeah, Joel McHale. Oh.
The guy that busted oak boards over my friggin' head.
A great history. We'll talk to him. And,
yeah, we'll have a chat with him.
Danny will let his fist do us talking. So until next time, Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
This would be a terrible time to go insane.